United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
World, so Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I came back to let you know, got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me, but I'm in a daze from your love, you see.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 27th of June, 2014. We are today's Friday. It's in the day, in the week, and almost the end of the month. We'll be back here on the 30th to close it out. If God says the same, Jeff and I are here in studio. And the number is 347-945-5229. I'm playing Bobby Caldwell. I got some producers that I walked through on my way in, and as I was walking in today, they were playing that. And Bobby Caldwell happens to be one of my favorite artists of all time. I love Bobby Caldwell. I think he is one of the most profound writers, musicians, and singers ever graced this earth.
Smooth.
Who? Yeah, he is. I mean, and if you see him in concert, I've got a chance to see him out in Santa Monica several years ago. And it was a small setting. It was like a small, no more than about 150 seats. It was
right.
Like, wow.
You and your Santa Monica.
Talk about an entertainer.
Don't talk to me
that. What an entertainer. I mean, he had on his hat. He cocked it to the side, and next thing we knew, he was on. And it's just who he is. I'm confirming the dunking tank for the 25th of July at 6 p.m. So I will be at Mount Carmel in the dunking tank on the 26th of July, which is like a month away from now.
I don't have enough money, Jason.
That's right. And I don't want anybody to come up, and if you can't hit it, you know, from throwing it from where the line is, don't trip.
I'm walking up right next to the tank. I can't wait
for
that.
So I'm telling y'all now, don't be playing with me in the water.
Oh, my God.
No. So all you people that I hang up on, that I give a hard time,
somebody got to take a picture of that, because I am coming to get you.
You know, I'm just telling you guys now, it's on and, what they call it, on and popping.
On and popping, yep.
Hey, I want to remind you that tonight is the 27th, and tonight is from 6 to 11 p.m. at St. Christine's. They have the annual Paris Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow and Sunday from 4 until 11, they're going to have great food, rides, attractions, raffles, basses, bingo, and many, many more. Last night you listed for the kids, but don't forget, tonight also, don't forget that there's still a revival going on over, a women's conference still going on over at New Vision, New Day. I was over there last night. It was a very, very nice service. I have to say that Mark Jackson really performed, and he's going to be in concert on Sunday at Heavenly Place. Mark Jackson and Final Call will be in complete concert with his full group on Sunday at Heavenly Place over on Catherine on the east side of Youngstown off of McGuffey. Starts at 7 o'clock p.m. You want to get there early because you want to get a seat because it will be packed. It will be filled. But you will have a great time there. And tonight, Gina Stewart's going to be at New Vision, New Day for the Women's Conference 2004, Covered by the Blood. They are located at 1970 Everett, which is on the corner of Everett and Midlothian. And it was really, really a nice service. The lady last night did a very, very good job. Her name is T. Latrell Penny. She did a good job. I was very, very impressed with her word as well as with her delivery and with how God met them there. So if you get a chance, try to go out. What's new with you, Jeff?
I'm upset.
Why?
Our local park.
I'm Jeff.
Listen, I'm upset about this. Our local park killed off a whole bunch of geese yesterday, and I just want to voice my view here, okay? I want to voice my view. I'm upset about it.
Why?
Because you don't kill geese. What have they ever done to us? Has there ever been a geese that have they declared war on us? Have they done anything to hurt us?
Why are you wasting my time?
Despite doodling like a man in the middle of everybody's pond.
Jeff, all they had to do was tell me.
I would have gone down there and took the geese out myself.
Jeff.
What?
You waste precious time talking about geese in Mill Creek Park.
No, that's period. You got to understand, this is a disaster of monumental proportion. What are you talking about? They're killing geese.
Good morning, Alabama. I hope you got better news.
Alabama, no, I'm right.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just chilling up here. What Jeff talking about?
He don't know. He's talking about somebody's geese.
They're killing geese in our local park. We have the largest inner city park in the nation, you know. It's called Mill Creek Park. So it is a national treasure. And so it is national news when they go in there and they start wiping out geese.
Jeff.
Who shot them?
Yes.
Who shot them?
They didn't shoot him. I would have shot him. I can't stand the doggone things. But I'm being very facetious here. I can't stand these. What?
Let it go.
No, this is a good subject.
No,
watch people call in. Watch your board light up when I tell them they were killing geese.
So somebody shot some geese yesterday.
They gathered them up and they gassed them. They put holes in the eggs in the nest wherever they can find them. We got too many of them.
The city did it?
No. Our Department of Natural Resources.
Oh, so they're just trying to cut the population down.
Too many of these doggone things, and these people are losing their minds around here. We live in a crazy area. You know, I just don't understand it. I think half the area is just lost.
Why are you wasting my time with this?
You ain't got nothing else to talk about.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. What? What's more important than killing geese in Mill Creek Park, the largest inner city park in America? Huh?
Well, I'm trying to. There's a lot.
Well, then let's bring this stuff up because I don't think there's anything more important than geese. It's the geese. It's all about the geesing.
Why can't we talk about Boehner suing President Obama?
Because that's not going anywhere. All he's doing is trying to slow him down. So what difference does that make?
Why can't we talk about
Clinton?
I'd
rather talk about geese than President Obama. I'm sick of it. The man ain't going nowhere. let him do what he's going to do. He screw us. He let him screw us. I mean, we put him in there. So let him do what he's going to do.
That's what the Supreme Court said.
Okay. So can we talk about
that man ain't going to still get his way.
Do you watch The View? You're sitting here every day when the view is on TV. Be quiet, Tracy, and let real people with real issues take the discussion for a change. Now, we're talking about killing gooses.
Okay, I'm watching live gooses. Geese.
No, we're not watching. I cannot stand Kelly Ripa.
Why?
I can't stand that chick.
Why?
Because
why are you hating on her?
I can't say it. I've never liked her. I never liked
Kelly Ripa.
I can't stand
I love
that
Michael
chick.
Strahan.
Strahan is my cat. And when he was on there with what's the anchor on I think she's on ABC or NBC. She came and co-hosted when Kelly went on vacation or something. I liked when they were together because it was a mature show. I can't stand that. I can't stand that chick.
Why? What'd she do to you?
She ain't have to do nothing. It's just how she is. I can't take it.
Well,
I don't like her.
Oh, man, she likes
her. Strahan is cool. That's my boy. And I ain't mad because he's getting paid to have to put up with her. But she act like she owns him. Like,
well, she does.
You know, no, she don't.
Yes, she does.
No, she don't.
Yes, she does.
Well,
you want me to tell you why?
No.
Because she can get him fired tomorrow.
I said no.
Well, I'm just telling you.
What's she doing? She holding him?
No, she's doing just like Regis did her.
You know what she reminds me of?
What?
The slave master's
wife. I had a female at a job say she felt threatened by me, and it was since World War III. You know that, and especially being a black male, if you do anything that's even remotely threatening around a white woman, it's good luck. Good luck.
What?
Because, as if I want a white woman, but I'm just saying, she said she felt threatened because me and her got in an argument over, I came into work, she just started cursing at me because what happened, this is when I was produce manager, the manager, he didn't too particularly care for me, came over there, had me ripping and running all day. So I didn't have time to really straighten up the back area of the, you know, the store where the produce is cut and stuff like that. So she came in and started cursing, saying, and screaming at me. So, you know, I gave her what she gave me. But she turns it around and says she felt threatened and started crying. I'm like, man, you don't get on up out of here.
Oh.
If my homeboy, if the other guy hadn't been standing there and saw it, they would have tried to call the police.
They really was worried.
Yeah, she started crying, playing the victim. She started cursing.
Hold on.
Y'all ain't got nothing going on.
I had a supervisor say do the same thing, and it took them 2 months to get to the bottom of everything. And I was really ticked off because they let this person get away with murder, almost literally.
Okay.
Now you tell us not talk about the geese.
Four,
now we're talking about
440. Good morning.
Morning. I'm with those guys. They got to tape her mouth shut. I cannot stand it when her mouth goes open. It's just shut up.
I hate no Kelly this morning.
I can't stand that chick. I told you.
Every time she opens her mouth, I just want to stick a basketball in there or something, you know? You know what she is? You know what she is? She's a white diva. Is what she is.
That was a good one.
That is good. But Diva got Diva got more than that, what this chick got.
Diva's
gifted.
Diva's gifted. Diva has a gift, man. Diva has a voice that gets up under your skin, and it could be five people talking, you're gonna hear her voice.
I don't care what you say.
Hey, look, now, y'all talking about Steve. Y'all talking about the woman that Steve wants to marry now. I mean, be careful.
That's right. That's
y'all,
right.
Hey, y'all going right
Steve.
About that voice, though. I said she's gifted. I'm getting a compliment. I'm just getting a compliment. It's a gift to be able to talk that like that and get up on the – just talk. And he, Eugene, got to – it sounds like she's screaming, but she's talking normal.
She got more sense in her head than Kelly Ripa.
They're talking about her voice.
Yeah, I know.
She makes me turn off the radio.
I can't stand
Kelly Ripa's money.
Yeah, but you know I hear you.
Turn off the radio, dude.
This is income inequality right there. Because there ain't no way she should be getting paid to do
stuff.
How
about the Cleveland Cavaliers, man?
Hold on, wait a minute, stop. Now, Jeff.
Yeah.
Just because you don't like her,
No, the little stupid.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen, that little show, whether you like it or not, they got ratings, and they got audience, and they got advertisers, and they got money. Now, you might not like what they're doing, but you got to understand.
It's income inequality.
They don't have a whole lot of problems like they do with The View. The View got to change every couple of days to figure out where they're going.
Women on the show.
You got in there, but that's the point.
You got one. You got.
But Jeff, you're not.
You got one girl.
You
got one. You got one girl and a slave. That's it.
Yeah, listen.
Damn,
The View is doing something wrong. But Kelly Ripa and Regis and Philbin and Gelman and Michael Strahan, they must be doing something right because they ain't got to change a whole lot.
They ain't got to change nothing because America.
They must like them.
America likes the image.
The image of a white black man with
a white woman overlording over a black man.
Yeah, they had the ratings when Regis was there.
Regis Philbin is a talent.
No, listen. Regis Philbin was a talent. But whatever they're doing, they must be doing something right.
Because
they sure got more money than me today.
Okay, then say that. How about MSNBC? How about that? They got more. Are they better than you?
They still got
nobody
more.
Nobody watches their Tracy. No one.
Listen, they may not have any money. They may not have no watchers. But they still got more money in their pocket than me today.
Because people are falsely inflating.
I don't care what
you
say.
It
ain't got nothing to do with perfect. Mm. You got to realize America is doing. They're doing something. Y'all don't want to get a devil his due.
So what you're saying is, as long as someone has money, they're right, regardless of the fact.
That's not what I said.
Even when the ratings show that, okay, if this show was national, you know, we'd all be celebrities. I have a spinoff.
Tracy, here's the thing that we're not looking at, okay? Those shows are designed for ratings. Those shows they want a specific audience, and that audience is white and female. So that's what they're targeting.
Can you say Oprah Winfrey?
There you go.
Oprah has substance on her program.
Yes. Back up that mic.
Well, no, you turned it down. You had me down in the first place. Hold on.
Your Oprah may have had substance, but Oprah, no matter what, she was still after white and female. And
I don't care.
They am telling you, Kelly has an audience.
I know Kelly has on it. She wouldn't be on TV.
You can't knock her for that.
I don't knock her for that. I knock her for being stupid. Silly.
Why do you say she's stupid?
She's silly.
What's wrong with being
silly? She's
silly
and she owns a black man
like
on TV.
That's what I'm trying to
say.
That's
what I'm saying. Would you rather have her or Kathy Lee?
I'd rather have Kathy Lee.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. I mean, have you seen the Yoda and Hookah show?
No.
Hold on, I'll show you in a minute. Hold on, they got a Yoda and no, that's Rachel Ray.
Crazy, don't do that.
She took it off of the Good News Station to turn on.
You know
on
what
NBC.
I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? The Yoda
Hookah
and Yoda show.
I'd rather see that than to see this chick. I can't stand
Why? What did she do to you? I've got to take a break.
It's the whole image.
Oh, jeez, oh man, it's not that bad. You guys are just hating on her.
Can I ask you
a question?
Yes.
If they called you tomorrow, would you go?
Go where?
And become Michael Strahan.
No.
That'll be right.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back.
Oh, goodness. Alabama, how's it going?
Ain't nothing much, man. Just trying to head to this bank, man. These bank fees, man, they kill me, man. They do stuff. They show you something in your account. Then it just the bank is set up to be deceptive, man. They probably making millions off fees, man. They a trip. So I'm going up here, man, and just going to switch some stuff around. I got one bank account that I don't even have a card to. I have to wait till they open to go get the money out because I just don't want to touch it. But I got to do that because it's, you know, this is an everyday account. And the bank is a trip, man.
I had one that incurred a fee. If you went below $3,000 in the balance in the account, they would take out fees. If you didn't, they wouldn't. So I'm like, okay, you try to maintain a balance. It just sometimes it's not possible.
Well, it's just I got this everyday checking account with Wells Fargo, but every item they trying to take $35, and I'm sitting like, well, dang, I just checked my balance yesterday. I was okay, you know. Well, you should check. You should write it out and get a checkbook. No, you should give me the balance because you see everything, every transaction. You see it instantly.
Nah.
You should show me that.
They're not going to do it.
Yeah, because they know they get no. The scales are tipped in their favor, so you're right. I mean, but.
Now, I got there's an account that my mom has, and I kind of help her get that. But if she runs into any problem, they call her up and talk to her personally. Let her know, hey, this is coming through. Your account says this. You need to get something in there to cover it so you don't incur a fee. And that's they call that personal banker. You know, it builds relationships with the
But see that's loyalty, right? That'll bring in major. She must have a sizable amount of money in there for them to treat her like that.
No,
and, you know, certain banks. If it's a big bank, like the other bank I'm using is PNC, they're not going to do that. Now, a credit union or a town bank, hometown bank, it'll probably do it. But PNC and Wells Fargo, they don't care. They you know, they build the burgers anyway. They got money anyway, so they don't care.
Yeah, man. I went and looked at that piece of property yesterday. And I couldn't tell. It had a blue tarp on the roof. So I'm going to got to get an agent to go out there so I can look at the inside of it. But give you an idea, it's a 1,500-square-foot piece of property. It's got four bedrooms in it. It is sitting on a three-quarter acre lot, and they want $23,000 for it.
That's a big yard.
Yeah. Yep. So they want $23,000 for it, and we sat here and figured it out that you can probably rent that out down here for about $700 a month. So
yeah, if they want $23,000, you probably can bid lower than that. Is it listed at $23,000?
It's listed at 23. It's a foreclosure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Mississippi, you may not be aware of this. I've tried my best to present you with the information over the last few weeks, but let us prepare. Let us start with cut two. Here is a radio ad that was cut by a media firm supporting the Cochran effort. And this ad was played targeted to mostly a black African-American communities by the Republicans. Cut two, go.
If someone tells you that by voting today you cannot vote in November, it's just the Tea Party ball things lie. Are you going to let the clock run out on today? By not voting, you're saying take away all of my government programs, such as food stamps, early breakfast, and lunch programs. Millions of dollars to our black universities, everything we and our families depend on that comes from Washington, will be cut. Mississippi will never be the same. The question is, will you spend $5 on gas to vote, or allow the Tea Party to set us back to the good old bad days? Vote against the Tea Party. Vote Dan Cochran. Remember, if you didn't vote in the Jim McCarthy primary, you can vote today.
You believe that?
Whoa. Whoa.
If the Democrats were like that against Republicans, we'd be jumping up and down.
And we're back here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Talking to you about what happened in the race down in Mississippi. And I'm going to be like another talk show host, and I'm going to say, if people don't realize now, if they don't realize that people have been used down here in Mississippi. I mean, this was foolishness. They got the black Democrats to vote in the Republican primary and get all of these people to vote, cross over the line in the primary. Tracy, what in the world was that all about?
I mean, did you hear the audio on that?
I heard the audio.
And I mean, I said, you know, I don't have a problem with black folks crossing over and voting for Republican.
I do. Because they ain't going to do it.
Hold on, Jeff. Let me finish. Mm-hmm. I said I don't have a problem with black Democrats voting for Republicans. I don't have a problem. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea to what level this guy went to. To get the vote. I mean, he did it. He went all the way down and like, they're going to put y'all back in chains.
Racist Tea Party. And look at how they describe what the things the black people want. They're going to take away your program, like food stamps.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't tell you that what we've been screaming on this show for the last how many years?
I don't know.
That you are a slave to the government and to
but
the Democrats.
Yeah, but yeah, but look at that, how they got the vote. That's just rude.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's just rude. I mean,
that's trumpet.
No, no. They use slaves. I know they use, but they use. They use other people's slaves.
No, they use their own slaves. That's the Mississippi slaves.
No, no, no. The Republicans use the Democrat slaves to go get what they wanted.
Well, no,
and they use Democrat speak to go make it happen.
The Democrats more, had
South Carolina is down there where you are. Why y'all do that? Like to the people like that down there.
Oh boy, Tracy.
What?
I mean, come on, that. If you ran that ad in South Carolina, okay, I cannot believe they actually ran that ad.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a robocall.
I heard it. There was an ad. It was a robocall. I heard it, and I said, "Are you kidding?" I heard it on the Blaze with what's the guy Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck
said, he said, Republicans stooped to a new low. And I was like, new low? I heard the ad. I was like, woo, that's a low.
Yeah, they played that on black radio station, Tracy.
Thad Cochran. I used to like that guy. But he chose, that is a low. I mean, that's
low.
That's low.
That's dirt. You know, they say dirty low.
What's sadder about it, Tracy? Is it worked? It worked.
And here's the thing, though. They said this all about government programs. What they fail to realize is that when that 500,000 illegals get here, ain't gonna be no money for them programs anyway.
But you missed the point. They went. The Republicans went to a low, dirty low down,
and it worked.
And it
worked.
Then you got your boy in the chat room talking crazy. He must get up and smoke a bowl before he.
I told y'all.
Calls in. Or either take. Took a hit of acid or something. That's what white GOP think of black people. Guess what? It's not true. That's why they think that.
Because you allow them to think.
Tracy, they just took a page out of the Democrat liberal playbook, and it worked.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
They just took a page out of the Democrats playbook, and it worked.
They did, and it worked. But I'm saying that was a dirty. I mean, that was a dirty. What they call a dirty low down?
Shame.
Who did that song?
Low down, dirty shame.
Boss Gags.
There you go. We're gonna play that
low down.
Oh. Yeah, that was dirty.
No. Evelyn Champagne King did it.
And they won't say who paid for. The funny thing is, they won't say who paid for the ad either.
There was no disclaimer on that, Jeff. I was really amazed by that.
Not only that,
I think it was the Chamber of Commerce that paid for that ad.
Well, we'll see. That it's illegal, first of all, to do what they just did.
Well, no.
You're not allowed to vote like that.
Yes, you can.
No.
Why can't you?
Because there's a law that says You cannot go in the primary and vote for somebody that, I'm telling you, they just discussed it yesterday on Hannity.
You cannot do what?
You can't vote for somebody that you have no intention of supporting in the fall.
Yes, you can.
Telling
yes,
you,
you can.
It's illegal.
Jeff,
now,
you cannot
I know
prove.
You can do it.
Jeff, you cannot prove.
Like I said, I know you can do it. But
you,
it's still,
it's not
it's, a, it's still
you listen. You cannot prove that I'm not going to vote for Dipstick in the fall just because I voted for Dipstick. Listen, if that's the case, do you know how many people voted for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama in the primary and become a Republican that switched over to vote for some one person because Rush Limbaugh said it?
I know that. I know what you're saying. I remember that they said they did that for Hillary in the primaries, but it's still illegal to do it, and that's why nobody is making claim to that. Why don't you think somebody said, yeah, I did it, I'm proud of it, like the white man that ran for city council in Houston, and he put all black pictures on his campaign literature and won. Oh man, these people are funny. These people are funny.
No, they're not. I was just very, very amazed at the mobilizing of this vote. Now, as I said, I did not realize that the Republicans down there, that he actually did it. I was like, are you kidding me? And the Tea Party is not even an organized effort.
Well, they're more organized now than they have been.
No, in certain states, in certain areas. But as far as, because if that was the case, then what's his name? The majority whip wouldn't be sitting on the sidelines.
Well, Cantor. I mean.
Because he took
them
for
granted.
What'd you say, Eric?
I just can't believe, of all states, it was Mississippi that this happened in.
Why?
Because it's just so historically, all the history of the racism down there.
Hold on. I'm from Alabama now. I'm right next to them. Trust me. I can believe it. All you got to do is say two words, racist Tea Party, and that's it. It's over.
So you mean all
there's
I got to do
gonna
is
There's not
going to
be any critical thinking. There's not going to be any thinking. There's not going to be any wavering. It's going one way, and it's going that way hard. That's just the way it is. With my brother's trying to run as a Republican. I'm trying to talk him out of it. Like, man, just don't do it. You're wasting your time.
Well, you know, it might be, it might not be, depending on whether the people like him. But
depends on where he's running.
Yeah,
is he running in a black neighborhood? Run for him, run.
Look, Montgomery is 60-something percent black. It's like on the census as being one of the most densely black populated areas in the country. It's blue. Even though it's in the middle of Alabama, it's as blue as it can get. That's not the place
yeah.
to run.
Run, Forrest, run. Covina's getting ready to come and say something stupid, y'all. I hear it coming. I'm going to wait for a minute because I hear stupidity coming through the ring.
I go ahead and beat him through it. White supremacy. That's what it is, white supremacy.
Yes, it is.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is funny. No, I don't. I'm not going to say anything stupid. I don't know why you say that. I say something stupid because you set up a meatball. You know how you set up a meatball and softball like you want somebody to hit a home run? That's what you do to me. You just set something up like something stupid. Well, I shouldn't say stupid. You just set up a meatball and I have to hit it out.
You're not going to hit it out.
Hold on. You know, if you hit a meatball, all it does is splatter. But go ahead.
All over you.
No. In softball, you call it throwing a meatball when you throw somebody a pitch that's so easy they're gonna hit a home run. That's what it's called.
You throw somebody a meatball. And you know when you hit a meatball with a bat, it goes nowhere.
You hit a home run.
Okay, get to this home
anyway.
Run. I want to hear the home run.
No, that was yesterday. That was yesterday's conversation. Tracy had said. Don't say something stupid. And then she said, well, what about Condoleezza Rice and
I
why
heard,
you even bring
I heard
that
you
up?
Comment on
we
that.
We was having a good conversation.
I heard you comment on that.
We was having a good
that.
Conversation.
Tell me something. What makes Condoleezza Rice and what makes, Colin Powell, Uncle Tom's, when in your party, or in the Democrat Party, I should say, the black people's heroes served under Bill Clinton. They weren't Uncle Toms for serving under Bill Clinton. Why is that so?
Okay, let me explain this to you.
Yeah,
very, very simple.
Uh-huh.
Black folks vote on an agenda.
No, they don't.
Well, let me explain it.
Let this stupid finish.
Black folks vote on an agenda and not on a skin color. So what I be trying to point out is when you say, when you point out somebody black, that doesn't mean that they fit the black agenda. They might fit the white agenda. So remember, if black folks are voting on an agenda, not a race, we'll vote against somebody who's black who doesn't serve our agenda. So when you give me as an example of somebody black to vote for, and you point to two black people who are black, yes, they are black, but they have nothing to do with the black agenda, then I'm going to say that must be Uncle Tom's or whatever.
You know what? Go be the man. Go be the man. I'm going to slide this in there right quick.
Sir.
I agree with you. You know why? Because it's not really that complex. In their minds, this is the way it works, and I agree with them. In their minds, it's really that simple. It's not that they think, okay, well, I mean, if this party gives us this, they're not going to really help us. This, they don't think like that. They just think, okay, he's Republican, therefore he's racist, therefore I'm just going to. He's right. I won't argue with you right there. It's really that Happy Meal, something you get out of Happy Meal that a three-year-old can put together. That's how simple it is.
South Carolina.
Here's what's crazy, man. Covina, did you even hear the commercial that Tracy played? Because that is their whole agenda. They laid it down. I mean, this is the dog bones that we're going to give you. These are the dog bones. Now,
and they rose to the occasion and went out and voted in a Republican primary.
Grandma ain't voted in a Republican primary in 50 years. But you talking about messing with her food stamps? She go running to the Republican big time.
Right.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Let us prepare. Let us start with cut two. Here is a radio ad that was cut by a media firm supporting the Cochran effort. And this ad was played and targeted to mostly a black African-American communities by the Republicans. Cut two, go.
If someone tells you about voting today, you cannot vote in November, it's just a Tea Party fireplace lie. Are you going to let the clock run out on today? By not voting, you're saying take away all of my government programs, such as food stamps, early breakfast, and lunch programs. Millions of dollars to our black universities, everything we and our families depend on that comes from Washington will be cut. Mississippi will never be the same. The question is, will you spend $5 on gas to vote or allow the Tea Party to set us back to the good old bad days? Vote against the Tea Party. Vote Dad Cochran. Remember, if you didn't vote in the June 3rd primary, you can vote today.
You believe that?
Yes, boss. Yes, boss.
What will happen if we have a claim? Do these insurance worries sound familiar? At Grange, we know one sure way to cross insurance off your worry list. Talk to a Grange independent agent.
If you're an insurance worrier, the experts at Crab Insurance Agency, your Grange independent agent, has a message for you. Don't worry. We've got this. Call Crab Insurance in Salem at 330-332-1586.
Products not available in
all
states.
This is a special news alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers on back taxes, resulting in back taxes reduced by thousands of dollars. An open phone line has been established by Federal Tax Relief for consumers to call and see if you qualify for this reduction. To ensure your financial stability during this decline in the economy, take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-1209. That's 1-800-210-1209. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, there's no need to fear anymore. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers, resulting in tax debts reduced by thousands of dollars. For your free information and to see if you qualify for your reduction, call the Federal Tax Relief Hotline, 1-800-210-1209. 1-800-210-1209. That's 1-800-210-1209.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or...
Halfway through commercial. Man, where's South at, man?
Hey, you know Barack Obama went and changed that whole black college thing. Now, any college, any major white university can get in. All they have to do is accept Hispanics, accept illegals, and they get that minority black money that she was talking about in that program. So,
but to me, man, it's like the GOP will come.
Babies in the running around, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street, talking out loud, saying you bought a sitting down, how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all hell to say. Hey, boy, you better bring a check around. To the sad, sad truth, the dirty law down. Taught her how to talk like that.
Wonder.
Is that a big idea? Nothing you can't have.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. He said it's a dirty low-down shame. I'm trying to tell you this. What happened in Mississippi? You got to understand that when you have, when you allow your, I don't even know, do you understand that what they said was they're going to take what you got, your food stamps, they're going to take your government program. If you let this racist Tea Party into there, they came straight up and said, y'all ain't nothing but, using the government system. Y'all ain't nothing but slaves to the government. So hold on, Jeff. So if you don't do what we, if you don't get out there and vote, take $5, put some in your gas and go and vote. If you didn't vote in the other primary, they're going to get you. That's what they said. That's just what they said. And those words. And I talk about mobilizing people, you know, making you do something that you wouldn't normally intend to do, but because you are mobilized, I wake you out of what you're in and I put you, you know, somewhere else. Do y'all understand what they did?
But Tracy, if they can get them to vote, mobilize black people to vote in a primary, that means that they really don't care about the black vote, because what have they been doing all these years? But when it comes time for a primary and someone is challenging you, now you have creativity. Now you know how to speak to people and get people to go out and show up. But when it comes time to try to get them to vote all these other years, you haven't said a word. You haven't reached across and tried to do nothing to get them on your side at all.
But Alabama, this is the problem. Everything that they said that they was going to take away from them, most Republicans are very much against when it comes to just giving entitlement handouts out. I mean, we're not about handouts. We're not about entitlements. We believe that we're supposed to give you assistance so that you can stand on your own two feet and be independent.
I hear you talking.
I mean, you understand? I mean, you understand, they use, it was almost like, they use, as South Carolina, they use a script from the Democrat Party, put a black voice in it, gave it a robocall, and it made, I mean,
I almost want to try it. Where did this black woman come from, though? That's what's really interesting.
She got
where
paid.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, I don't know. It's like there's no real loyalty when it comes to us as a people, black people. They're going to.
But you know what I want to do? I almost want to go out and do a robocall in one of our primaries locally to see if it'll mobilize the same group of folks to come out and do the same thing.
It probably the thing is, I don't know why you're blaming the black folks. The thing is, it's hypocritical for a GOP person. It will be as if...
Oh, shut up.
Wait, let me finish this.
No, he's right.
Alabama. I want to hear what he got. Right. I want to hear this.
It would be as if the GOP in South Carolina, where South Carolina is, came out and had a primary and said, well, if you vote for us in the general election... where the other guy wants a Confederate flag, the other guy wants to take your vote away. Vote for us, the GOP. And I was like, what? That don't make no sense. Your whole party is about the Confederate flag, South Carolina.
You're crazy. You have no idea what the Confederate flag is about. Man, why do people that don't live here?
Step, tell me what it is, Step. Go ahead, Step.
Why do people that don't live here always want to assume that because there's a flag on the state house grounds? I'm going to tell you how that story went, okay? The GOP or the legislature, both black and white, came to a conclusion on about taking the flag off of the dome, state house dome. They made a compromise, okay? The problem was, after they made the compromise and everybody was happy, then those parties that didn't want the flag on the dome, they didn't realize, hey, we take it down, we put it right in the middle of in front of the state house, everybody can see it. Now they're wanting it off of grounds completely, okay? Look, when you compromise and you do something, and then the other team says, or cries foul, then you make yourself look like a real fool. You know what I'm saying? South Carolina is not about a daggone Confederate flag. The Republican Party is not about a Confederate flag, okay? No more than you're about. No more than what you're trying to push on us. I mean, come on, man. Let's be realistic about it. You're talking about a conspiracy of white supremacy. That's ridiculous, man. You're selling.
Hold on, Sal. Wait a minute.
Because I want to hear Jeff got to say something on this too before I go to break.
Everybody's missing the point of this whole thing. The people were easily duped. Why? Because they have been conditioned and trained and brainwashed to react just like Pavlov's dog to the bell ringing. He was mouse with water. All you have to do is say food stamps, early head start, or anything, any of these catchphrases, and you got black folks camping at the bit. Wait a minute, I'm not done. Getting ready to go out there and vote. And now you tell me that your party, your Democrat Party, doesn't have you trained like that. Because that's what they do to you every time they need you. They say these catchphrases. They call it Tea Party racist. The Tea Party is not racist. They have several black candidates. And the thing is they want they're conservative people, and they don't feel they're being represented by the Republicans. And that's who they are. But here's no, wait a minute, Kavina. You said stupid already. Let me finish talking. You know, it's our people have been brainwashed. That's how it works.
You gotta understand. I gotta let Eric in. But you gotta understand what they did. He didn't give them nothing. He didn't say nothing.
Nothing.
All he did was say, if you vote for the other guy, they're gonna take what the government gives you.
Yeah,
that's not a reason to vote for somebody. What'd you say, Eric?
Yeah, that was my point too. I mean, Thad Cochran didn't say he was gonna fight for all that stuff. All he said was that the Tea Party guy was going to take it all away.
Well, and he didn't say it. The doggone commercial said it.
And my problem is we really don't understand how this is detrimental to our community at large. This is not how you vote. This is not how you win. This is not how you make significant change. This is not how you change a paradigm in our community.
And
Karina, man, I really expected, I mean, I know you and I disagree on a lot. But for you to think, for you to think that this is, you know, okay, you ought to be just as outraged as we are. Not because Republicans did it, but because we fell for it.
But, Tracy, here's another disturbing thing about this whole thing. This was a collaborative effort, on behalf of the Democrat Party and a establishment, what I want to say, establishment big government Republican, okay? Because he could not have done this without the help of the Democrat Party in Mississippi. So, you got to understand, folks. You have to understand that this is nothing more than big government at its worst. Period.
And they're using us. This is worse than a pimp and his prostitute.
Every time they use you,
at least the pimp will kiss you on the cheek every now and then before he beats you. They get ready to just pimp slap you all over the place, and they ain't even gonna kiss you on the cheek no more.
And like I said,
and we're okay.
The programs are gonna get cut anyway, because like I said, the illegals are coming and they're here to stay.
Absolutely. You don't have enough resources.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to what Jeff said. Tracy, it's not that I don't have a problem with it. It's the lesser of two evils, but I want to get back to what.
Oh God!
I want to get back to what Jeff was talking about. It's as if the GOP is coming to black folks and saying, or you said the Tea Party is not racist. We have black people. Like GOP can come and say, let me just finish. We're not racist. We have chicken, watermelon, and grape soda too.
Like, Covina, you're so shallow.
Covina needs to get a good grip on what racism really is. He needs to come down here and talk to my mother, okay? He needs to come down here and talk to my grandmother, all right, that lived in the South for years. Matter of fact, my grandmother lived in Seminole County, Florida, back in the 1940s, okay? And she knew what racism was, all right? You don't know what racism is. All you're looking at lab created racism. You haven't seen it. You don't know what it is, man.
They think Don Sterling is the biggest racist they know. You know.
He's far from it.
He ain't even a racist. And you know what's getting me here is Covina, man. You just totally missed the point that we're telling you that they got these people to get out and vote. There's no lesser of two evils here.
It's all evil.
What's the lesser? What are you thinking is lesser than two evils here? They came in a primary and voted for a Republican. The thing to do is if you didn't like that, you get your butt out in the poll and vote against the Republican.
Listen, you have to understand how they coerce people into doing this, Covina man.
I understand. I'm not saying I don't understand. I don't understand what your big deal of about it is.
I'll be right back.
Covina man.
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you think about that whole, when she said that point about black colleges, and I just told you about how Barack went and changed it when he got in, doing a Hispanic, basically any college that takes Hispanics gets all that money to go to these black colleges now. So they're going to get less. They're going to get less, but they're using it. They know Barack Obama did that, but they're not even being truthful about it. It's just like, I'm just saying that it's like it's no chink. I know we're not going to chink your armor. I mean, you love Barack. Okay, cool. But I'm just trying to understand how constantly, it's just every other day I find something out this man's doing against his black folks, and it's just like they don't care. It amazes me.
Yeah, the thing is Alabama, it sounds similar to me the way the Jesse Helms ad against the black guy, so he's going to take your job. You don't give it to a black man. As you coming to us and say, black people, they're gonna take your college money and give it to Hispanic people. It's like the thing is with the job, not only are they gonna they may give it to him. I know they're going to get rid of the whole job. The GOP is going to try to get rid of all college funds. And you talking about somebody going for a Hispanic stuff. It doesn't matter, man.
You know, hold on.
Here's the thing. That is a straight-up ball-faced lie. The GOP is not trying to get rid of the federal student loan program. That is a lie, man. Come on. How can you even make that comment?
The evidence.
And, I mean, you got to show me some proof that the GOP is trying to get rid of federal student loan program.
Okay, Paul Ryan's budget.
Paul Ryan's budget did not cut out the federal student loan program. It decreased it, but it didn't cut it out.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Alabama.
I mean, how do you say that's getting rid of it?
I'm checking out, man, at Target, man. Oh. I can't. I'm in line, man. If I start a wire up, yeah, I tell you how I really feel.
Don't start talking in line, man. Them cashiers will get on your case.
I'll just sit here and deal with this South Carolina dude.
No, I agree with South Carolina. I'm going to put it like this, though. When you really look at it, when you really boil it down, education used to cost as much as a Camry, Toyota Camry. You used to get education for like, you shouldn't, your whole 4-year education shouldn't run you no more than about $32,000, $35,000 total. Now because of all these programs that have come in, people are leaving out of school. It's outrunning health care. It's outrunning health care. In the universities, what they do is they see when it keeps going up, they raise their tuition. So if it slows that down, they're going to slow down their tuition because 90% of what they're feeding off of is government laws that put students in debt, which therein messes them up. So coming out of college with $100,000 worth of debt and you can't find a job is not as good as coming out with $20,000 worth of debt. So I'm sorry. I don't think we should just always just think that, okay, just because the government's going to throw $5,000, $10,000 a semester at something that is good for the student. It's not always good for the student.
Hey, Alabama. We got a program. We have a technical college system throughout the state of South Carolina. We do too.
In Alabama. Oh yeah.
And what it costs to get a 2-year associate's degree at a technical college is less than what it would cost you at one of the semester at South Carolina State or University of South Carolina or Clemson. But what's interesting about it is, you can actually go in the technical college system, graduate on a Saturday afternoon, and be working that Monday morning with a position as an LPN or a CNA or a registered nurse, a certified welder.
That's not the only way. IT, you can go into IT and do it. I know people in IT that went to a technical college that make $200,000 a year right now, and they don't even have a bachelor's.
They got the electronic engineering degree. It's an associate's in electronic engineering, and I know guys that go from there and they go work at a company called ESAB. You know, it's a German plasma welding company, go from making zero to making $50,000 their first year, and if they decide and go
what people don't realize with education, after you have experience, your degree just is a bullet point at the bottom of your resume. 99% of your resume is just the top, the experience, what you've done. You can get a degree from the cheapest college you can. I know colleges you can work and pay your way through. And you would graduate debt-free, and after about 2 years of experience, you up there with the guy that went to Auburn, Alabama, or some major Ohio State. That's just stupid. It's just dumb. I mean, the objective is to make money.
Yeah, if you go to school, it's stupid to go to school for a 4-year degree for a 9-to-5. That just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, you're right about that. So. My daughter will graduate in December, and she will have her associate's degree in accounting. And she will go, her plan is to go and work for an accounting over in the neighboring county who will help her. If she stays there for 2 years, he will send her to basically finish up her degree and help her get her accounting certification.
So
she thought, was she going to be a bookkeeper?
She wants to be a CPA.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it's really simple. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's real simple. GAAP is GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles. It don't make no difference if you go to a junior college or a four-year. As long as you
exactly.
understand and you get out there, your first job in IT, okay, let's say you're making $20 an hour starting. But after a while, once you got 2-3 years experience, you can leave. And trust me, I done jumped over 6 figures doing it. And I promise you, I got a bachelor's, but that's not what gets me my jobs. It's really not.
That's 347-955-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon. Go to space with the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way, huh.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along. Here come bad news, talking this and that.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the SOM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock here. And today is the 27th of June, 2014. It is going to be a great weekend. Don't forget that this weekend we've got St. Christine Festival here in the Mahoning Valley. St. Christine is over on the west side of Youngstown. And they would love to have you come out. It's going to be Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Tonight is from 6 until 11. Saturday is from 11 until 4. They're going to have great food. They're going to have rides. It's going to be a great carnival. And then don't forget that you also have your women's conference. The women's conference is going to be at New Vision, New Day. New Vision, New Day is located at 1970 Everett Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio. The speaker last night was very, very good. I think you'll enjoy the other two ladies. Tonight's going to be at 7 o'clock. It's going to be Dr. Gina Stewart from Memphis, Tennessee. And on Sunday morning, you're going to have at 10 o'clock, it's going to be Lillian Hannah. And please don't forget that Mark Jackson and Final Call is going to be in concert over at Heavenly Place Church of God in Christ. They'd like for you to come out on Sunday. And if you have any questions about any of these things, you can give us a call here at 347-945-5229. I'm listening to Pharrell Williams right now because what did I forget?
I'm at Chad Anthony's tonight at 9 o'clock.
Okay, Jeff at Chad
Anthony's. Canfield, Ohio.
So Jeff at Chad Anthony's tonight, what time?
9 o'clock.
And that's
the
it.
Sensational sensations.
And I think that is all. Today's open mic. We'll go where you want to go. I had to play that because I played the clip up that the voice. Eric, is that you making all that noise that you saw from? That's South Carolina. Wow.
It ain't me. You quit. I'm the first person to get muted. It ain't me.
We know. No, it's not you. I know it's not you because Eric has AT&T, and so I found out when AT&T, they actually have an echo. They have an echo when people are on the cell phone. It is what it is, and people, you know, that it. And in South Carolina, he just makes a lot of noise. So Eric has AT&T. You just be driving, got wind blowing in the air.
Well, I ain't driving. I ain't on that project no more. I ain't going to Tuscaloosa.
You ain't doing Tuscaloosa no more?
No, I'm back in Atlanta. I'm going to be in Alpharetta. I'm going to have a normal. So I'm not going to be able to be on the show for a while. So.
When? Starting by when?
Probably after 4th of July because they're doing a background check. So after 4th of July, I probably won't be on the show probably for a while. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I ain't going to say that because it depends. You go on these projects, you never know. So it might be over in a month. Ain't no telling. But I might be
well,
back. You never know.
We're going to miss you.
Know, it's good to let people
I have a question
you,
for
so
you.
Value.
You said something earlier, and I got to quiz you on this. We were talking about relationships. You said something about
We're talking about Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan.
You talking
about
me?
Said that, yeah, you.
Go ahead.
And you said that you don't, you ain't looking for no white girl.
Oh no.
Didn't you say that?
Well, no. Yeah, I don't date white women. No.
So how do you feel as a black man about interracial dating? Because there was a conversation that I had the other day that was really.
You got to open up a real. You know what? And this is the thing. And this is really just me being, you know, I try to be nice, but the truth is I don't agree with it. I think if you do it, you do it. I can't control what people do, but I personally don't think it's something that should be done. But if you find somebody and you feel like that's what you want to do, then do that. I don't have a problem with it like that. I mean, it's not like I'm a dislike diva because she's marrying a white guy. She's still cool with me, but I don't think it's advantageous for black people to do that, because I feel like at the end of the day, we're trying to, like, say, for example, and let's be honest, when people, most 99% of the time, when you see a white woman marrying a black man, she's always marrying up. Always. Now, I know you always got, we ain't talking about trailer trash in the hood. We talking about 90% of the time in normal society, white women marry successful black men that got education, degrees, good jobs, businesses, professional athletes. But when it comes to the other way around, where you don't really see white women marrying down, so to speak. And what I'm saying is marriage, so to speak, can be looked at like a business or like wealth. And if you marry someone, the man is not going to live as long as the woman. So that's just a fact most of the time. So it, to me, I think is advantageous. I don't look down at interracial people. I've seen some people that take it a little too far and hate people because of that. No, I just don't think it's advantageous. I don't think you should do it. But if you do it, I don't have nothing against you. But
now,
some people will hate your guts for doing that.
Oh, I got to ask one at a time. Hold on, Covina, man. I don't want to know what you got to say yet. I'm not even going to go, and we're not going to youth yet. I got to go. Jeff, you were saying that he was incorrect about marrying up?
Yeah, they sometimes they marry up financially, but usually when a white woman marries, usually she's like the stable person, and she marries a black man to be the physical partner. Primarily, that's what I see.
But look at the NFL. Look at all the professional athletes. Look at all our black celebrities.
Hold on. The NFL is not necessarily marrying up because some of them guys couldn't add two and two together. But that's not the point.
But now, I want.
When they leave the NFL, the wife leaves them too, don't she? Look at the divorce. Look at what happens financially. These women, you meet these guys in college. He's dumb as a doorknob. You know that he's getting skipped through school, but he's going to be a first round draft pick. Get millions of dollars.
Can I take my show, Alabama? Can I take my show back since I asked the question? Because I'm going somewhere with this, and because this is not about the this is you made a statement, and so now my question is, why is it that you don't think you because you heard about you heard Pionki the other day?
No, what did he say?
He's adamant. Pionki was adamantly against interracial dating.
Right.
Okay.
And then I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they were okay. They're okay with white women dating black men and marrying black men, but they have a problem with black women dating white men.
It is what it is. I mean, some people call you a sellout either way. I mean, it doesn't.
So my question.
Go ahead.
My question really is, why do men tend to care, or why do you care? When you're looking at the situation in America right now, where women and women are drastically home alone for the most part.
Why what?
Women outnumber men like something like 7 to 1.
Okay.
So when a woman finds a date, no matter if he's Asian, if he's Hispanic, if he's white,
oh,
why
you're
is
about black women.
Black women.
Oh, well, let me. That's a myth. I'm gonna tell you why. Number one, there are only what 1 point. It's maybe a million black men in jail, maybe in the penal system, so to speak. So let's say you got, if it's 40 million, that's 19 million, right? Okay, let's say you got a bunch of them that's that's uneducated, that's gay or whatever, right? So not, that dwindles it down, right? So then you're down, let's just say 8 million, 6 million, whatever, right? Let's go look at these sisters. You got a lot of, they're in jail too, but then a lot of them, and this is, the facts are out there, a lot of them have herpes. That's very high
AIDS?
Number of them have. Well, not just that. I'm not, AIDS ain't that high, but when you talk about herpes and stuff,
AIDS
that takes
high.
Way up.
No, no, Alabama, don't tell me that AIDS is high. AIDS is almost an epidemic in the black community when it comes to females.
Okay, well, even still, now you look at that, then you look at how many of them are out of shape, how many of them have kids. The numbers are very, very, very high. So when these sisters are out here talking, 9 times out of 10, they overweight.
What does he? What does kids have to do with it?
He hadn't even got into a bad attitude. What does kids have to do with it?
Yeah.
A man that has options, right? Like my, I got a friend right now. His wife, he cheated on his wife. His wife decided to leave him. They got 5 kids. She in her mid-30s. And I'm sitting trying to talk them out, talk her out of it. Like, look, I don't think you want to do that. She's not. She's gonna be lonely the rest of her life. Ain't no man that's single finna come marry no woman with no 5 kids. I know a chick that's very nice looking that got 2, but I can't do it. I'm sorry, I cannot do it.
Wait a minute. You know how hard it is to find somebody today that's in their 25 and older and don't have kids?
Exactly. Now you see what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about males either. Men, y'all
okay,
show up
okay,
children
I'm good. Okay, I'm good. That's them out there popping all these kids. That the numbers are low on both sides is what I'm trying to say. When these women think they're the cream of the crop and they can't find a man on their level, follow them up. Talk to their ex-boyfriend. Something ain't right. Something missing. She probably got a funky attitude because a lot of black women got bad attitudes. A lot of them got funky attitudes and they're not supportive. So if you take that,
well, you know,
it's probably harder for us to find a woman than it is for him to find a man.
Oh, you crazy. Go ahead, Pianki, because you're going to say something. I know
well,
it's going to be
you know, that works on both sides because you got some men out here ain't worth a damn, too. So, or should I say males? You got black males out here that ain't worth a quarter. And that is a segment of black society's culture that is just deplorable. And it's called, and, you know, you have a natural number, population of more women than men. Then when you complicate it with the things that you mentioned about the prisons, you complicate it with the things that you mentioned about the health, then you have to look at the other thing, too, the abortions. You know, the black population in the United States is just totally, what's the word for it, Jeff? Jeff?
Well, they're out of control. Let's put it that way. They're not. Well, I'm just really.
Cause
have you been listening all morning?
No, I haven't been listening all morning. I was napping.
Hold on, come in a minute.
You missed a really telling situation.
Hold on, we'll come back around to it because it all adds into.
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
It all adds up.
And that's how I make my point. So I'll wait.
Because my question was, how is it? Because I was asking, because during that time, Alabama said that he ain't looking for no white woman. And my question is, why aren't people just people and you just date who you like? And I had a conversation the other day, and they were all up in arms about black women dating white men. But they're okay with black men dating white women. And I'm going, huh? And so now my question is, you know, with the population shift, and if things are as bad as you say they are, Alabama, especially with children and all that kind of stuff, why can't you just look for love and look for companionship no matter what race or nationality they are?
As I got older, when I was young and I didn't have money and I was in college, it was hard. As I got older and I got out and I started getting a career and doing certain things, I can get a woman. It's not difficult for me to get a black woman. Certain types of black women are going to be harder to obtain than others because they don't have kids, because they aren't overweight, because they have certain things going for them. So, and one thing, you just made a point, I want to interject this. If I marry a white woman, I'm pro-black, right? Certain ways, my viewpoint is not politically correct. So there are going to be times that I'm going to see things from a black perspective in a Malcolm X-like mindset. And when I do that, that mother, it's going to be some conflict because that mother's never going to tell her daughter, you're a black woman. Even though society's going to judge her as a black woman, if I marry a white woman, that white woman's not going to tell her daughter, you know, no, you're mixed.
I don't think that.
You're black.
No. Because I know some white women who have children or who are married to black men, and they're very forthcelling with their children about, honey, I'm bright with freckles, but your life is going to be different than mine. But the question is, you know, right now we black men like
that's a woman
like
that's been
hot.
Forsaken. She can say that, but when she's been forsaken, and she's nine out of ten, why would I even want to go through that when I could just have a black woman and it ain't nothing to talk about? Even if she's Latino, but she's black, I can deal with that.
Listen.
Let me in on this one.
Go ahead, Covina man.
Oh, thank you.
Because you know you
about
white supremacist.
Interracial relationships, I don't have a problem with it. Go ahead.
How long is a Democrat?
I don't have a problem with it. I just always say look out for what white supremacy is doing, and if you're okay with that, then do what you do.
You're okay with it.
People out
well,
here.
So what's
let's,
the problem?
Let's have 6 billion people out here. We're all God's children, supposedly. Why are we hating on each other because of race?
Hold on, Pionki. Wait a minute. I'm confused by Covina Man. Because Covina Man is the white supremacist man. And he's okay with that as long as they ain't Democrat.
Right.
Or they ain't Republican.
Democrat.
But they Republican.
What does that
he
have
never
to
left.
Do with it?
It has a lot to do with it in your mind because this is how you operate. And it's very clear to see how you operate because you broadcast it every time you talk. The most crazy thing in the world is for you to say you don't understand what problem we had with what happened in Mississippi with the robocalls going out to black people in a Republican primary. You don't see what the problem is. And so therefore your view is just totally jaundiced. I mean you couldn't possibly have a view because I don't have a problem with it. Just watch out for white supremacy. What does that mean?
Let's break it down then. If you understand it, we can break it down.
No, I understand.
Wait a minute, hold on. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain it real simple. As I said, it's 6 billion people. We're all equal, and so, but under the system that we live in, which is under white supremacy, white people have set up a system that's not advantageous for the majority of people on the planet. So I'm just saying, we have to watch out for how white people will try to use or utilize interracial relationships to benefit them and hurt other people. That's why I just look out for that. And if you're okay with that, if you cleared the hurdle, then there shouldn't be no problem with it.
Okay, hold on. Let me take another call. 330-398, your mic is on.
Oh, hey, yeah. I just wanted to...
Turn your radio down, sweetie.
Okay. I just wanted to make a statement. We have the greatest sense of indigenality on the planet. Anywhere you go, people are talking black people. They want to be like us. And even at the height of adversity, we are the most emulated race on the planet. Of course, if you can marry a black woman, okay, and your ideology can be north and south, okay, that's obvious. But there are a lot of people who are not black that emulate black people heavily. The dress, the lingo, the swag, how they formulate their thoughts about, you know, government and religion and so forth. So if you haven't found a woman out there who's not black to emulate the race, you know, very close, very hard, very hard, even harder than a lot of black people, then either you're not looking hard enough, you haven't looked, or you haven't left that comfort zone. Live a little longer. Travel the world. You're going to find a lot of people out there that really embrace the black culture, even the worst parts of it. So saying that all white women are that way, First of all, I mean, it's not true. That's a falsehood. I think, you know, I don't care what color she is. You know, I don't care what shape she is. In today's world, you do good to find a good woman, period, wherever she is. Look at how messed up our culture is today. You do good to find a good woman. I don't care what color she is. I don't care what shape she is. And you're going to find a lot of people who suffer just like we do. It's like that their culture may not necessarily be vocally out there like ours is, but, you know, you can find a woman with, you know, a great ideology like yours. You know, I mean, it's, you know.
So you want someone, so you're saying it's all about substance, because so finding a good woman, period, no matter where she is and no matter what color she is and no matter what size she is difficult all in itself.
I learned that as a young man. You know, we grow up with falsehoods. You know, we have these pre-deemed things, how things should be, how things are supposed to be. And then you get out there and you deal with reality. Hey, a lot of these people that's going around saying, my brother, they're the first ones that's going to take you, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know, it depends. Now, I'm a strong believer that you can have, because before I left this place and came back, I said, yeah, well, hey, you can have of a culture, you know, like a whole city of women is just messed up in certain ways.
I don't agree with what you just said.
Hold on, Pianca. Let him finish.
But you know, I'm just saying that, you know, when you leave this place and you travel the world, you know, you learn a lot of things. You learn a lot of things. You're not the only pawn in the United States, you know, but I'll just say that a good person, a good man, a good woman is where you find them. And you shouldn't be going out, you know, trying to go over pro-black, pro-Latino, pro-Asian. And one thing that did mess me up in Northern California is when you walk into a church, my mother's saying, you know, find a church. I said, Mom, the church sounds like the radio, and I can't go along with that. But one Sunday, my heart was heavy, and I did try to find a church. And it's one thing, when they say Korean Baptist, when they say Vietnamese Church of God in Christ, they mean just that. A lot of times you walk in these churches in California. I can't speak for the rest of the country. In California, you walk in them, and they go, hey, man, what you doing? Well, I'm coming to church. Well, we don't speak English. Well, that's cool. I'll just come to pray. Well, no, you need to go down there and find a black church. I was astounded. It's like I was astounded to find another minority more racist than a white man. That messed me up. It really did. But like I said, a good person, a good man and woman is where you find them.
Can I please interject?
Hold on, not yet, because I promised Pianca. Hold on.
I'm going to stop it there.
Okay, Pianca, go ahead. Hold on. Whoa.
I don't say that.
Whoa.
At race.
One at a time.
Saying, oh, well, she's got. I mean, if that's your preference, fine. Okay? But if you find a good woman, if you find a woman that loves, that worships you, that loves you more than you love yourself, that's a gift. And I don't think you should say, well, she's not black. Well, she's not Korean. Well, she's not this or that. You know what I'm saying? That's special. And I think you'd be a fool to pass that up. Thank you, and have a good day.
Okay,
yeah, that
hold
old
on.
Saying about the world, yeah, saying about the world emulates black people is totally, totally wrong.
Huh?
You know, I've been in Egypt walking through the markets, and people would come up to me because I have locked hair and say, oh, you're an entertainer. Well, they're only emulating certain aspects of quote-unquote black culture in the United States, and that usually falls along the entertainment and the sports attitudes. So to say, you surely can't be emulating the fact that you last in household income and all the other disparities, HIV and all that stuff. So no, they don't emulate black. They only imitate what they see on TV, and most of the time it's the sports and the entertainment. And you have certain nations around the world where they don't, I mean, even when the immigrants come here, they don't allow their daughters to date a black man. I mean, it's in the family, and it's perfectly fine if that's what they want. I tell my grandson and children the same thing, going the opposite way. So to say that they emulate blacks in the United States is totally wrong. And
Hold on,
another thing, I married a woman from Africa, and I would do it again and again and again and again. The black women in America, we were talking about that yesterday. Tracy, I went to Walmart to get some knee pads for my grandson. I decided to sit outside on a bench, a guy that worked inside sat on side, and I said, you know, these women today are huge, are they not? He said, yep, they are, plus they got attitudes.
Can I interject
yeah.
now?
Go ahead, hold on, Jeff. You got anything you want to say?
No, not yet.
Go ahead, Alabama.
Well, the thing is with Asians, it's interesting because Asians come here, and what they do is, and this is a time where you do talk about white supremacy because it does, it's privy to the conversation. They come here and they assimilate into that culture because that is your way of being accepted in. Is by one, the number one way to be accepted into the dominant white supremacist culture is to have a disdain and hatred of black people because we ain't never done anything to Asians ever. In fact, when they were marching in China, and they were trying to get their independence and freedom, they were singing our song, they were using our slogans. But when they come over here, they look down at black people, and they are being taught. I saw a book where they're talking, it says, "What's up, my nigga?" They got that, and they teach these people are not ignorant. And I've been to 14, 15 different countries. I've been to 14, 15 different countries, and these people know what the word nigga means. They know. I was down in the Dominican Republic, and this guy who is almost as black as I am, he's a little light-skinned, but he's pretty much black, same hair and everything, comes up and tells the waiter in Spanish, not thinking I knew it, what are these niggas doing in my seat?
Don't over talk me because that's not what the conversation is. Because I'm really trying to head somewhere and you're going somewhere else off the cliff.
Yeah, I mean
because different cultures are taught different things about black people and they're not always true. But you got to understand that's another discussion. Go ahead, South Carolina. South Carolina, you text me, tell me to pull you back in, and now you don't say nothing. I've got to take a break anyhow, but that's...
I have been muted. I was muted on my end. but
that's because you make a noise.
I've been around the world, too. And the thing about it is, it's a totally different thing when you go into a different country. I mean, they're emulating what is being given to them. Okay, if the only black people they see are Good Times and Fred Sanford and things like that and rapping and everything else, that's exactly what they're going to emulate. That's what they think black people are like, and they're going to do it. Now it's up to us to change that. If you don't want them to see that as a black person, then we got to show them something different. People only express what they know. All the rest is ignorance.
We don't control any media.
But let me say it this way. Now, hold on, because I don't know if you guys know, the Jet is no longer in production, Jet Magazine.
That's right.
But let me say this.
The last one came out last week.
Right. But let me say this. When you look at what was done down in Mississippi by the Republican candidate to get black folks to go vote, and when you look at the mindset that we have even for our own, that we would – who is that?
Who's breathing in their phone?
That's not breathing. That's outside. When you look at the mindset that we have about interracial dating, yet we want to be integrated, but we don't want to be commingled together. I mean, because when do people just become people? Or are we always going to be these little sects of people? And are we always going to be an isolationist?
You're always
no, I think
person.
When everybody else integrates, we can integrate.
Alabama, hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
I think you're always going to have your sect of people because, first of all, when the Koreans and the Asians and the other people come over here, they have a work ethic that is not, toward black people in a certain way. Although black people have a great work ethic, really.
They can.
Most of the time they do. But the thing is it's been beat down and beat out of you. Who built America right after the Civil War? Who rebuilt it? It was black people. We entered the middle class. We were driving the economic engines until the Ku Klux Klan and the black codes and the Jim Crow laws. And so we've been demoralized as a people by not allowing us to take part and assimilate. we're not allowed to assimilate here where others are invited to assimilate. And so they assimilate around culture. And the culture is go to work, take care of your family, do this, that, and other. And our culture is we're barely making it. And so, therefore, you have a dynamic. But yet, you have people going to tanning beds, trying to get black. You got people, like they were saying, you have people emulating black music. You have more black-sounding white singers out here today. And I'm not mad at the whole movement. I'm saying that this should tell people, yeah, we shouldn't be acting a fool with each other. We should be find people that have like-minded things and camp around that. Put out craziness from all of our neighborhoods, but we support it. We support the thug in our neighborhood. And so therefore,
and we cover it up.
And we cover it up, and then we do stupid stuff like they did in Mississippi, show you that they have been a trained people. These people were trained to think like they think, and they knew that they were going to get the response that they got.
It was almost like it was like a pilot program.
Well, they knew it. They knew it was going to happen. He just wants to stay in power. He's in the Senate.
Can I say something, please?
Wait a minute. Do you know how powerful senators are?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, he didn't want to lose his spot, so he used skullduggery to get it. I'm not mad at him because it worked for him. I wish he wouldn't have won. I wish the other guy would have won. But here's the thing. That man does not want to take anybody's food stamps and take anybody's who's breathing in there?
That ain't breathing. Air.
No, that's breathing right there. Just Tea Party doesn't want to do those things. That's a lie. But the thing is, you're not going to be able to convince anybody that because the Democrats have made this thing stick with the use of the news media that makes it look like the Tea Party is just these racist, such and suches. When it is not true.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Paul on WSLF. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Everybody quiet?
No, I'm here. I disagree about to say that the women want to get black. They get tan, but once that tan skin gets to a certain level of darkness, they say, "Whoa, that's enough." And
well,
you don't know,
I don't know.
I've seen.
This is sad, though.
I've been in Egypt, and I've seen Japanese tourists come. I'm gonna tell Tracy that when she comes back. All the women have on those veils, and they have those gloves, white gloves, that come all the way up to their armpits. And they wear them because they do not want to become darker. They want to stay their light, pale self that they are, which they have a right to do so. So this stuff about people coming in and talking, say that stuff just to kind of make themselves feel good.
Well, I think it's synonymous with hate because so long we've seen hatred infiltrated through that, like through separate. They'll separate and then they'll dog the black people. Like that's what. So when we say, "Hey, I don't think you should intermingle," or "I don't think this," I think that, "Oh, you're evil." No, if you do it, I don't have no problem. If you do it, do it. I just, if you ask me what's advantageous, common sense. If your skin color is the same, society is not judging people the same on the same merit, then obviously it would be the most advantageous for y'all to be together of like heritage and culture. I'm sorry.
Hey, Bama, let me say this real quick. It's not surprising to me that the conservatives among the black group on this show are the ones that are against interracial relationships, and those that are the liberal would be for it or are neutral about it. It's not surprising.
Nah, most conservatives on this show, that most conservatives are not against interracial. Now, I don't know what you call me, whatever, but I'm probably the only one. It seems like everybody else against me is probably just me and Pionki are the only two. Everybody else is saying it's cool.
Well, I don't want my grandson marrying a white woman, and really I don't want him to marry probably 70% of the black women that's in America. That's why I'm taking his butt over to Ghana and leaving for about 3 months.
You all Jefferson, man.
You all the same, boy. It's consistent with polls. If you looked at any of the latest polls about what group of people support interracial marriage and what people have a problem with, it's consistent with the polls, what you have on this show. On this show, it's very consistent, where you have, you know, 50-50. You and Pianchi are against it, and I don't know what South Carolina is.
Well, Covina, you really proving my point. Is that showing the conditions of a person's heart, or is it just that I don't see nothing wrong with it? I don't see Asians wanting to marry Asians and Hispanics wanting to marry Hispanics and blacks wanting to marry, but I don't see nothing wrong with that. It's like with the group economics. I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm consistent on the group.
When you look at the history of this country, it's always the mulatto. Let's tell you, the Bois was a mulatto. His father was French, and his wife was, his mother was Belgian and African, and his father was French and Caribbean. If you look at Washington, you had the same thing on his side too. No, was it? I don't think so. No, Washington's parents were both African. Oh. Well, I'm kind of confused. But anyway, you see that white man has went around and used that as a weapon. And you see it being used as a weapon by other ethnic groups. Chinese do the same thing. Chinese go to Africa and marry African women so they can have, what, access to the land that's in their family.
Women ain't going
to
be loyal. Women ain't as loyal as men. Women aren't as men are more confrontational. Women are more docile when it comes to stuff like that. They don't care. You can come in. They don't think about their nation and nationalism. They don't think like that. They just, you got the resources, let's play ball.
So they do think about nationalism now, because they do it because they want to have access to markets. Blacks not taught to do that stuff. They have that.
No,
that is
no. I'm talking about the women.
Right.
I'm talking about the women, Bianca. I'm talking about our black women aren't loyal in that regard.
Well, the women may not be loyal, but most of these males out here don't have the inkling, man. I'm telling you. I'm sorry to say it, but a lot of the black males I see,
and
I wouldn't want
to. 90% of the reason I say what I say is really look at black women, period, physically. I'm just, that's just my personal opinion. You can like long blonde-haired, skinny, 90-pound women with Botox in their lips. I like, that's just you, but I like, you know, I know what I like. I'm from Alabama, so I like certain things. That's just me. It has that. That's probably, I'm just physically attracted to black women. It just, I can't even see a white woman. I don't even see them.
Okay, I can see you on that. But let me say, I think that what you're saying about the economics and stuff, I think that plays perfectly in what my situation is, and that I believe that everyone should be treated equal. Everyone should have the same opportunity, and where there's not opportunity or equality, there should be justice to replace that. There should be some form of. I know South. You don't agree with this. You step and fetch. I'm talking about something else.
You're talking about socialism. I'm talking about socialism there.
Yeah, I'm talking about some justice. That's what I'm talking about. So
he's talking about social justice.
He's saying basically the government need to come in and twist somebody's arm and make them give somebody something, even though they may not have the skills and abilities to get it on their own, but he won't.
Well,
I don't believe in it.
I believe that the government should make sure that the rules that were set is being followed. That's the only thing I agree with.
Yeah, so
you know,
if
you shouldn't
screw
have
up yourself, exactly. If you screw yourself up, then you screw up. But at least you have
right.
a shot.
You shouldn't
like
have collusion. You shouldn't have collusion in some of the tricks that I have witnessed in the industry that I was in.
Right, I would agree with that. I would agree. But the thing is, the only problem I have is there is no way to show if that is really being followed or not, except for when they do like a hidden camera thing where they'll take this guy in to get an apartment and that guy in to get an apartment, and they get two different results and do the same thing with a job or in a compartment store where you can see it if you have a hidden camera.
Well, really, you're giving a characteristic Covina man of power. Power is the definition to control the definition of words.
Right.
I can say fair all I want to, but I really control what it really means. But
right.
I can say it's fair.
Right, exactly. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying the only way we can really prove that is by using statistics and by making a statistical adjustment. So we can't.
Well, I agree with you, Covina, man, but see, well, hold on. When people see the statistics, black folks got to let go of some of this Democrat belief system.
Hey, Tracy and friends here on WSLM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And today's Friday. I hope you guys have a good weekend planned. Don't forget about Mark Jackson. Going to be a final call at Heavenly Place Church over in Catherine. And I think Jeff said he's going to be at Chad Anthony's this weekend on 224, located over there by the Blue Wolf. And also you have St. Christine's Carnival that's going to be taking place tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday. And a new Vision, New Day is going to be having the revival coming up on tonight and on Sunday night. And it's open mic, and I was talking to, I brought up about the Mississippi candidate because it just it sticks with what they did was, you know, wrong, and they were doing this and doing that. I said, well, I have no problem with black folks voting for Republicans. I think it's a good thing. But when I heard the tape, I was like, are you kidding me?
I think he was here this morning.
Is that really the tape? They really didn't do it that way. And then they didn't come out and vote for him because they said it like that. I mean, he didn't offer them anything. He didn't offer them an alternative. They just came out and herded them out, and they said, oh, this will work. I need to know, will this work in other places?
It's a dirty game.
That ain't a dirty game. That ain't dirty. That ain't a dirty game.
It's a dirty game.
Come on now. So can we try that in other areas? Can we go up to New York and try that?
This is one thing that I can say for what everybody's been saying. People have their preferences about what they like and don't like, but then they get mad with white people for having that preferences about what they like and don't like. What sense does that make? It doesn't. So the thing is that there has to come a time when you have to think about what you're asking or doing or whatever. Look at how you operate in the society. This land of plenty, there's plenty here. Even right now when there's not as much, we just can't consume at the levels we want to consume at now. That's what it is. It's not
because
it's
you can't consume.
You can't consume at the levels you want to consume at, I said.
Like what?
Well, you don't have money flowing anymore, so you can't just go buy whatever you want to buy and stuff like that. You have to think about it, you know. So that's what's going on. I mean, stuff is constrained a little, but we're still free. We still own can own land and the minerals on it. You realize how many places you cannot own land at?
There's a lot of places you can't.
That's what I'm talking about. And so when I see people saying these things, what they're doing here on our borders. Look at what they're doing. They're trying
to deplete. Speaking of which, Jeff, the number is 347-945-5229. Let's talk about the immigrants that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Charlie Rangel's district?
Did he?
Charlie Rangel's district. No, he won. But he won by the hair on his chinny chin chin, mm-hmm. and the Haitian that was running against him. The reason why he thought he had a better chance is because most of the district now is Haitian. Not Haitian, Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to affect the African-American and the Black caucus with all these people coming in?
Well, the Black caucus wasn't worth a damn anyway, so it shouldn't affect them very much at all.
It doesn't matter. They still are there, and they still say stuff. And here it is,
who say stuff?
The Black caucus.
But you have to understand, the people voted for Charlie Rangel to go in, and he's been censured. He has no power. He just sits there. He can't sponsor a bill. He can't co-sponsor a bill. I mean, he's inept. And there's nothing he can do. He's just an icon sitting in a seat.
Name one black politician that's got some power in Washington. None of them do.
Pardon me?
None of them got power up in Washington. No black politicians have power. Okay, maybe Barack. Okay, I forgot about him. He don't count, but he's not, you know. But outside of him, that's it.
So look at what's going on here. Look at the
look at the immigration issue. Look at the Charlie Rangel's district, and then look at how they usher people to go to vote. Add all that up, and what do you come up with?
Well, you have a busloads of ignorance.
But ignorance, after a while, ignorance will get you killed.
Of course it will.
Well, pain to some pain to some is not the same as pain to others. You know, how long has that man been there? 40 years?
Getting whipped. Pardon me?
How long has he been there? 40 years?
He's been there 44 years. He's been there 22 times, I believe.
And they was complaining about Gaddafi.
Pardon me?
And they was complaining about Gaddafi.
But you see, the difference between Gaddafi is Gaddafi had power to influence. This man has nothing. He has no influence. You got to understand, Gaddafi is a problem because Gaddafi could influence people to get things done, and he can.
Didn't
make
the Democrats turn against him a while ago? Didn't they dog him out? Did him wrong?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
Charlie Rangel, absolutely. They dogged him out, treated him wrong, and they're the ones that threw him under the bus because he was going to become one of the most powerful men inside the Senate because he was going to be chairman of the Ways and Means, and they had to make sure that didn't happen. And the same thing happened with Maxine Waters. But the question that I have is, how in the world, these guys, if they don't know the political system, they ought to know, because if they don't know, they need to get out.
So what they need to do is start teaching others the truth.
They can't teach others the truth because I'm not quite sure if they know it. So tell me, what in the world are we going to do? Because I want you to know, Charlie Rangel's on his way out. You've got a group of people coming up from the South who are getting ready to become naturalized citizens, and they're going to be voting, and they're going to be sitting inside of offices. And right now, African Americans are going to be sitting on the sideline, and because of our prejudices, we don't want to have integration because we don't want to integrate with nobody.
We would gladly integrate with somebody if you had the chance, but the thing
we
is...
We can't. Don't nobody want to integrate with you?
No, well, no, that's the whole thing.
Not with you voting the way you vote.
Well, not only that, what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, I wish I could say. I can't say.
Well, you don't really
mean.
You don't really mean integration. You mean cooperate.
No, I said integration. I said it the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to integrate.
I said it right. I said.
But I don't want
to
integrate.
Because when I say integration, I'm looking at people, you know, right now, when I look at Tiger Woods, I was watching something on the news the other day. He's playing this weekend, and this is the first time he's played in a long time. He hasn't won since 2008, a major, and the PGA has lost money because of him not performing.
Good, because they destroyed him.
Well, that's here nor there. I'm just saying, look at what we've done. But he's Calabanian. He doesn't even want to associate. Yes, he said it was
Cocobalasian,
Calabanasian. He said he's anything but a man, a black man. So, again, you got Halle Berry. You got all the rest of these. You got all these other people who are now President Obama. You ain't heard him come out and say, I'm a black man. He takes a black sympathy, but you ain't heard him come out and say that.
Halle Berry.
I'm just saying.
if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin.
And that's the closest
that's,
you got
that's
to
him
a black man?
Black.
If I had a son, he would look like me.
A speech. All he has to do is give a speech. That's the problem. Give a speech, and black people just, you know.
They swoon.
It is what it is.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
Bill Clinton was racist.
I was trying to follow Tracy's point there.
I'm being just as facetious as you. But
can I kick the ball around for a second though? Let me ask you this: If two parties come together and they're trying to integrate, and one party has power, wealth, influence, and resources, and the other party doesn't have anything, when they come together and the other party does something that the weaker party doesn't like, what can the weaker party do? They can't. They have nothing to make them twist their arm to do right. That's what immigration did.
That's not what really happened. What happened is they fooled you about the integration of the 60s because they did not care about you. They passed
economics.
It was an economic thing, and the Democrats won that battle. And you know how they won? Not because they passed
them. LBJ said, if we do this here for these colored folks.
Uppity colored folks. Them niggas will vote for us for the next 200 years.
And guess what? He has proven right. History has proven him to be very, very right in his statement.
Absolutely.
So now I look at the voting patterns. I look at our communities. I look at where we're going, where we're not going. And I'm not quite sure why we are as backwards. And our eyes are as closed with people that we ought to have our eyes open. Because even those people who call themselves mixed don't want to be black.
Tracy, but what you talking about right there, you and Jeff, is that if a black person, as I have to go back to my other statement earlier this morning, if their agenda doesn't fit what black folks are looking for, they're not going to vote for the person. You can't give them chicken water. You can't give them chicken water and grape soda, Jeff.
Hold on. Because you know what, Corina, man? If he had come out and said he was going to be offering chicken, watermelon, and whatever, and he was a Republican, they'd vote for him just the same way as they voted for this other Republican who said if you vote the other one, they're going to take away your programs. Go ahead, Jeff.
Once again, Corina, man, you don't have an agenda. You don't have one. If you had one, you would find.
Corina, don't talk. Don't talk.
You would find out. That it would probably be a lot of times that you should agree with the Republicans because of one thing. They are about people being free. They're not about locking you up. They're about freedom for people, whether you like that freedom or not. And that obviously black people.
We don't want to be free.
Obviously black people in America have shown that they don't want to be.
We don't want to be free.
That's what I'm saying.
Because free people have to have responsibility. And you have to take care of your own self. And slave people wait on the master to feed them. And we like being slaves.
Go ahead. I just had one statement.
Go ahead, dude.
The one statement I had was, so it's safe to say that the thug thugs have been invented by white supremacy.
No.
Okay, let me see.
I think so.
You might be right. No, he's right about that. But let me say this. I was going to say about the agenda because Jeff has said we don't have an agenda. We have a default agenda. We've been running on default since the late
90s. What's the agenda?
It always have been civil rights. Black folks want jobs. They want civil rights. They want to be able to vote. They want to be able to have fair housing. They want to have fair jobs. I say that again. Black folks that want a middle-class income. Black folks that wanted less police brutality. That has been the default agenda for the last 40 years.
Covina, man, black folks used to want jobs. They don't want no jobs no more.
Oh, boy.
Why do I get up and go to work, Tracy?
No, you're not the whole though. Look at that commercial, that robocall. What did it tell you that was going to be taken from you if you voted let the Tea Party get in?
Hold on, Jeff. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Check this out. I'm going to do this all over again when I come back.
Good deal.
Taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try to handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. This tax hotline will help tell you about new programs to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you find yourself really tired? Do you have...
But Bama, what you were saying about white supremacy creating thugs, it was absolutely. It was part of the COINTEL program, 1970s, when they started the heroin epidemic in the black community, specifically targeting African American community. They specifically got some guys off the street, gave them the whatever car they wanted, they gave them the apartments. And they gave them women started parties, and they would invite other black people over and show them this is what you can do if you get into the drug trade. that was specifically part of FBI's COINTEL program, which had been released and revealed in a Congress hearing.
Dark Alliance.
Since.
Dark Alliance, too.
But, yeah,
but, Gary Well.
Yeah, it's already been, that's part of it. That's where it came from.
But you won't hear no doubt here. I don't argue with you on that.
Well, Dark Alliance was about crack cocaine.
Well, that's heroin. Yeah, but heroin is part of, like, with the guy Rick Ross and all this. All, it's all
heroin.
An ongoing program.
Heroin had been, but most black folks
heroin
don't
was out
know
in the
heroin.
60s, but in the 60s, it was the main drug, and then it switched over in the 80s when crack hit.
Yeah, but the 70s, it was a COINTEL program. That was a government counterintelligence to stop the Black Panther influence, stop the influence of the black nationalist movement. They brought in the heroin, and they set up this little pimp game, and that's where they came from.
But y'all do realize
here's
everything
here's,
black
here's
in this
problem,
country
though.
Is not the same, right?
Yeah, here's the problem you run into. You know, if the conspiracy theory is what you're saying, they may have supplied the product, but they didn't create the demand, and therein lies the problem.
And that, you know what? That's the same thing my brother said in South Carolina, but the thing I'm saying is this. Everybody that's broke and poor doesn't have your morals. A lot of people just want to eat, put food on the table, and if they see a way to do it and they don't think they're going to get caught, they're going to try it. And
that's
the bottom line.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about selling. I'm talking about demand. Okay? You can have a product for sale all day long, but if you don't have a demand for it, you can forget it.
Well, they put, look, even if part of the COINTEL part of the program that Cortina's mentioning, Afeni Shakur, Tupac Shakur's mom, when she was one of the people that they were watching and going through his trash when he was little, they went and sent a CIA agent to get her own drugs. They went and made sure that they got her put on. They tried, they took her, gave her all types of weed. It starts with marijuana. That's why I don't believe in marijuana. But it starts with that, and it branches off into all types of different drugs.
But it's a choice that you made, or whoever the
Yeah, but just
is.
About everybody in their mama
like
smoke marijuana. A lot of people smoke marijuana and
not
take
everybody
in
their mama smoke marijuana.
Not, look, I ain't going to say
if you make
not,
the choice,
that's
if you
a colloquialism.
But if you make the choice to use it, you can't blame the person that's selling it to you.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing with you.
Well,
just
that's
like
not
you
true.
The person that's selling
it to you can't make that same excuse with children, though, can you?
I mean, with the children are a whole different category. I'm talking about adults.
Well, you got adults with your mind.
Well, that's too bad. That's too bad. I know 70-year-olds where they think like kids. So I agree with you right there.
I agree with you 100% on that one, Bianchi. I know something like that.
Hey, y'all got to realize that all black, quote-unquote black, and I use the word loosely, are not the same.
Yeah.
We just don't want to realize that. You know, you got people that's out here that's black power and pro-black, and when you tell them that, they kind of stop in their steps.
No, they agree
all
with you.
Blacks
with
are
you.
Not the same.
Pro-black people do believe that because they'll look at a person like me or South Carolina and call up Uncle Tom in a minute. So, yeah, just because you're black, they ain't going to say you're one of them.
Yeah. I tell you what, fellas, I'm looking at Zillow at these properties in Detroit, Michigan, and this is absolutely crazy, man. This is
what,
crazy.
How much you can buy them for?
Yeah.
But see, the Arabs and Asians come down, they buying that. They buying blocks. They coming down. I heard they up there buying blocks and blocks of property. They just buying it, just buying big sections, neighborhoods, just buying them.
Who you
think that? The Asians and the Arabs?
Detroit.
Especially out of Dearborn. You know, Dearborn ain't nothing but Arabs. Dearborn ain't nothing but Arabs.
Hey, the Chinese did doing that here in Southern California. Where as soon as a home come up for sale, you got Chinese investors coming over, and they buy those up, and then they move the Chinese people in here, and you take a community that used to be primary Hispanic, and now it's like 50-50 Hispanic and Chinese.
I mean,
I don't think that's good for black people. You got to learn. It's just like when your mama tell you not to touch something, and you do it anyway. We just got to learn. We can't be pushing for the same people that's going to come over here. And these folks ain't loyal to black folk. They coming over here, and they going to take your job, take your. They going to do it, and you deserve it.
I don't even feel sorry for you. When they do it, and you pushing, you voting for your own destruction, I don't get it. I don't get you voting for illegals, fighting for them to not have to have ID. I mean, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
We had an organization here.
Nobody gonna come in there and vote and take the resources that you're trying to get, fool. God.
We had an organization here called Organization of Black Struggle. Jamala Roger and them was marching downtown when that issue about immigration and denying immigrants the right to, you know, they was talking about exporting them all. She was saying that's terrible.
That's not our fight, though. That's not the black people's fight. They don't understand that's not really their fight. They're going to learn the hard way. Immigration is not their fight, but they think it is. I can see if there's a bunch of Africans coming over here. They're not even thinking. They're just not thinking.
Yeah. I see your point, man. I don't disagree with you on that, man, but I think it's not our fight one way or the other. I think that whole black mindset of black folks and white folks.
Wait a minute, Covina. If you're telling me that we got double-digit unemployment already, and these Hispanics are coming over, they ain't coming over here to just go build their own business. A lot of them come over here taking jobs, especially construction. I know for a fact they done took the construction industry over. Black people can't do construction no more.
Here's a radio ad that was cut by a media firm supporting the Cochrane effort. And this ad was played and targeted to mostly black African-American communities by the Republicans. Cut two, go.
If someone tells you that by voting today you cannot vote in November, it's just a Tea Party ball things lie. Are you going to let the clock run out on today? By not voting, you're saying take away all of my government programs, such as food stamps, early breakfast, and lunch programs. Millions of dollars to our black universities, everything we and our families depend on that comes from Washington, will be cut. Mississippi will never be the same. The question is, will you spend $5 on gas to vote or allow the Tea Party to set us back to the good old bad days? Vote against the Tea Party. Vote Thad Cochran. Remember, if you didn't vote in the Jim McCarthy primary, you can vote today.
Yes, boss.
If the Democrats were running ads like that against Republicans, we'd be jumping up and down. Do you know this radio ad, paid for by Cochrane supporters, scripted, produced by Cochrane supporters, other than me and perhaps others who are conservative, this hasn't been attacked in the big media. This kind of race baiting hasn't been attacked. I haven't seen it attacked on news outlets like Politico. I haven't seen it attacked in almost anywhere except the conservative media. And even there, only a limited number. If someone tells you that by voting today you cannot vote in November, it's just a Tea Party, bald-faced lie. Are you going to let the clock run out on today? By not voting, you are saying, take away all of my government programs. Does that sound like a Reagan ad?
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You have to understand, and there's a robocall. There was a robocall that went to everybody's phone number within a certain demographic. So... And he's right. I didn't hear this on the mainstream news.
You should have thought that immediately.
Not only that,
I forget the one lady. I think she's as dumb as dirt too. She's up there justifying. Let me find it. I got
703. Good morning. Your mic is on.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I'm sorry. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Great talk. I've got a number of actual points, and I know I don't have time for that. I'm the guy that's been putting all the comments in. My name is Zurian.
Hey, Zurian.
Problem, nice to meet you, my brother.
Same here. The problem to me is that we as a people won't work together. You know, I mean, there's just so many layers that we won't work together on and we won't help each other on. And that's what's hurting us. These other groups, they pull together. Even if they don't like each other personally, they still pull together and they do business. We don't pull together and do business. We pull
Why
together
and
party and drink and do things like that. You know, even some of our groups that are pretty much African-American, you know, we'll pull together to ride some motorcycles and go stand around and look at each other's guts grow and talk crap.
Good one, man.
That was pretty good.
Where you calling from, man?
Yeah,
well,
not
that's entirely true now.
Yeah, we're not talking about anything of substance. We're not doing anything of substance. And, again, these other cultures do. They go out there and they do it. You know, and then you've got the people that are in power, like in my comments, I said the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the people that control government. Matter of fact, they even said it once. They said, I don't care who runs the country as long as I control their money, because if I control their money, I control them. And that's the system that we live in, and that's worldwide. We as blacks are losing because we're trying to be average. And what is average? You're the worst of the best and the best of the worst? I don't think that's where any of us truly want to be, but that's where we're settling for, and we're selling our souls in the process.
He's right.
He's absolutely right.
I mean, he's right. And we don't – I was just asking
–
I was asking Jeff during the break. We were talking about a company here, and I said, you know, it's a shame if they can't work together.
Yeah,
they would be a strong force if they could just come together and work. He said, "Well, do you think? No, I think it's one more than the other." And if the question is, how is it that when you look at even in your politics, we ought to be able to say, "Okay, this is what's going to happen. If this person wins, this is how we win, and this is how the game is played. And if this person wins, this is how the game is played." But we fight like it's a football game, and then we wonder why we're still not winning, even when our team wins.
Right.
You should never let your team win and you still not win. You got to have more than a jersey.
You know what the problem is?
What is it?
Never our team.
That's
the problem. The problem is it was never really our team. We bought into something that we really were just tools in. Look at the guy that owned the Clippers. Like he said, it was pretty much modern-day slavery. You know, look at the they had a Korean gentleman, multi-billionaire, and he was being freaking destroyed by the media because of the fact that he hires all Asians. And he said to everybody that was there, he said, let me explain something to you. You know, he kind of used the Malcolm X term. He said, it's not that I'm racist against black people. It's that I love my own. He said, so if I have a black man that's got the same skills as this Asian man, that Asian man is my brother. They've got the same skills. I'm going to hire that Asian guy. I'm not going to hire that black guy. But if you look at a black person, that's not what they're going to do.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Even if the person is more qualified, you might not get the job.
It happens every day. I mean, think about it. What do most of us do? We network. Why do you network? Because you're trying to get people that are of like mind, so forth and so on. But even in that, we lose because if you know somebody, if your son has X, Y, and Z, and he knows John, and John knows me, and John comes to me and says, hey, I'm looking for a job. Guess what? John gets the job. And if John is white and John's got more money, more power, more position, he's cooking with gas, but you are going to be homeless. And it's just in everything that we do. Look at who controls the money, and then look at the attitude that we have, and then you see why we have the problem. And people want to say it's the congressman this and it's the congressman that. It's big business that's molding that, and it's the fact that once we do get in place, somebody else talked about Halle Berry and Tiger Woods and some of the other political people. Like I forgot the young lady that was like one of the first African-Americans that was really in a – Condoleezza Rice. Here's a woman who was there in Mississippi as a child when kids were being locked up. Yet she saw it. Her father on his shoulders took her to the freaking park where they had other black kids locked up because they were trying to march. Yet she wants to act like everything that she did was on her own. You know, I mean, even when you talk about Rosa Parks, you got people that talk about Rosa Parks and they go, well, you know, Aunt Rosa, this, that, that, and this. And I'm not saying that Rosa Parks didn't do a great thing. What I'm saying is that most people don't even really know the story. You know, like, okay,
that's true.
You got on the bus and there was a dot. Wherever the dot was, black people sat behind the dot. They don't realize that Rosa was sitting originally behind the dot, but when more white people got on, they moved the dot. And Rosa was like, I'm not getting up. Most of us aren't grateful. Most of us don't think. Most of us let crap come out of our mouth because we think that we have rights that in reality you don't really have. You trade your the most precious thing you have on the planet for money, and that's time, and then you don't get anywhere near your value, you know, and you get into these false senses of ownership and authority and all of that. In actual reality, I own a house. I own a couple of houses. I don't really own jack. You know why? Because if I don't pay them taxes, they're going to take it.
Right. Just that simple.
It's really that simple. So what do I really own? I don't really own anything. And the people, I mean, look at some of the richest people in the world. The guy that owned Dyke ended up inheriting Dark Cup Company. What did he do? He got so tired of the crap, and he was a multi-billionaire. He said, y'all are killing me on taxes. So what did he do? He said, I give up my citizenship, and I'm moving someplace where they're not going to charge me like this. So now he can't be in, he can only be in the States, I think,
six months
out of any year. But he's a billionaire. What does he care? You know, I mean, it's...
Well, you know, I hear those saying, the same people that say that blacks are not the same people that accuse blacks of having this mindset are the same people that support public schools. I'm not saying anybody here, but you can't have it both ways. And all blacks in America are not the same. They're not going to think the same. But to say that they are not together, heck, I was looking at a county map of Mississippi the other day, and you got counties in Mississippi where the population is 80% plus black. Many of them are at least 67% black. So to say that they're together for certain reasons, they may not be together for all reasons.
Hold on.
All
Pianchi,
blacks
Pianchi,
in America
listen,
are not going to be business
on.
People.
Pianchi, listen, this is the problem, and I mean this.
You and I are not together.
Hold on, listen, we're not. But listen to what I'm saying. We have geographic locations where African Americans make up anywhere from 70% of the population and greater. But when you look at the infrastructure and the power structure and the money structure of those areas, from Detroit all the way down to somewhere in Mississippi where there's a small population, they still don't own anything, they don't have anything, and they have no significance.
Well,
that should be
the focus,
Pianchi,
then.
Pianchi,
should it not?
Pianchi, listen to what I'm saying, because I will forget my thought. What I'm saying is, do you not understand, because of the lack of information and miseducation, knowledge does not make you educated. Knowledge without understanding just makes you, you know, you just know something. And what's happening to us, we have majority boards now. We have majority school boards, majority city councils. You got all black everything, yet everything around you is still decaying and dying. That should not be in a world in which you're supposed to be in the majority and have control. And listen, we don't have to agree on everything all of the time at the same level, but we have to agree on that which we agree on and move forward on that. And we don't do that.
Well, would you not say that apparently they are agreeing on something and moving forward? They're just not agreeing on the things that from those on the outside observe and say there's deficiency.
Well, Pianchi, what do we agree on? What are they agreeing on? High unemployment? High, bad school grades? Drugs in the community? What are they agreeing on? High crime rates? Mass incarceration?
And let me add this, Jason, done with that.
No, Kobe, hold on, Kobe, man. The question is, what in the world, if we're agreeing on something, then what in the world are they agreeing on?
They're agreeing on voting Democrat.
Yeah, but it's killing them.
To their demise.
It's killing them. And you saw the prime example of it the other day. The Republicans used the Democrat trigger and won. That should tell somebody something, and it's not happening.
But,
and your media is not crying foul. Come on now.
But Democrats use the same thing. Come on now.
What I mean, they're the ones that created
it. I've seen Democrats put out flyers and put one neighborhood, they have their pictures on it. They put it in the other neighborhood, they don't have their pictures on it. They use the same thing.
Listen. No, listen, you're missing it, sweetie. You're absolutely missing the point. The issue is, what in the world? Why do you not hear people crying foul about what happened in Mississippi based on the tactics and making sure that the Democrats nor the Republicans use your people again?
Here's the thing. You know, we're not talking about just one thing. I'm trying to really bring out some kind of light bulb moment for the black community. Not to stop being Democrats. Stay in the Democrat Party if you agree with that platform. But the things that are in that platform that don't help you, you need to get rid of.
Yeah, they can't get rid of.
Well, yeah, they can if they had a light bulb moment.
They can't get rid of it, even if they got a light bulb moment, because they don't know how to turn the screw to get the light bulb.
Well,
out.
That's my point. That there has to be a light bulb moment. That something has to come on and
show it. Listen, even if they know they're sitting in the dark and they have a light bulb moment, the problem with them is the majority of them don't know how to unscrew the light bulb to put a new one in.
I agree with you. I just
they have no idea how to get to the store, how to get on a ladder, how to unscrew the light bulb. They don't even know that the filament in the light bulb's out.
Tracy, like all you're doing is supporting my statement.
So how are they going to change it?
Like I said, they have to have a light bulb moment. They have to have illumination. Something that happens that shows them, and this should be a prime example of what happened in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
my question is, if you get a light bulb and it comes on and you don't know where the switch is?
No.
My problem is the people, they shut down Claiborne the other day in the IRS. They turned the mic off on him. Did you see that? Okay. They had in the hearing for the IRS.
Yeah. What's the black guy?
Did you see that?
Yes.
So for those of you who missed it, you saw Claiborne. He's on the committee.
Yeah.
And for the IRS or whatever committee that was, and they were having a hearing. And he wanted to get his statement out, and because he did not understand parliamentary procedure and understand how to make it work to his effect, they turned his mic off,
and
everybody got up and walked out. Again, if you don't know how to drive the car, you just go sit in it and think it's moving.
I got you.
And what I'm finding out is we have a lot of people who are sitting in cars, and they think that because it's running, it's moving, and all they're doing is standing still.
And let me add this.
I don't want to hear stupid, because if you say something stupid, I'm going to hang up on you.
You can't hang him up.
Yes, I can.
Oh.
You need to call him a man wrong, man, Tracy.
I'm about to go.
Go ahead, man. Say what you're going
to
say.
I'm about to go to work in like 2 minutes anyway. I was going to say on that point, I think the reason why people didn't call out what that robocall said is because probably the majority of people probably didn't have a problem with what was being said.
No. No, because they relegate themselves as being people to get welfare, early lunch, early breakfast. How stupid is that? How demeaning is that as for people that the only thing you're worth is to be able to receive from the government early breakfast? Get enterprise, get a business, and get your own doggone breakfast. You don't need this.
Right,
you don't need this coming to you.
I don't
agree. I know you don't agree with me because you're just...
No. I don't disagree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, like, Bianchi was pointing out something earlier, either during a break or whatever. He was saying all black people aren't the same. They're particularly appealing to the type of black people that didn't vote in the Democratic primary, right, who is talking about welfare and government programs and early start and all that stuff. That's the people they're looking for. That's all. They only need like a how many minutes? 4,000 people to make a difference?
Stop this foolishness. The reason why they got the people to do what they did is because they have low information people, and they said
supporting the Cochran effort.
And I've been saying this for 20 years.
And this
my dad
ad
used
was
to
played.
Say when someone would be at the dinner table, my dad was a consummate host. No one could say anything wrong in our house. There was a guest. It's like the customer is always right. But some would say, well, you know, Joe, let me tell you what I value or what they value, et cetera. My dad would say, Charlie, don't tell me what you value. Show me your budget, and I will tell you what you value. Don't tell me you value women in the workplace and don't hire any women. Don't tell me you value, and so on. Well, let's take a look, because now we got a real clear picture, as Tom pointed out. We got a real clear picture of what they all value. They've said it. Every Republican's voted for it. Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
He said they're going to put y'all back in chains.
And they're in chains. The black community is in chains to this day. And I don't understand why the people that aren't necessarily bound by that monetarily are supporting it. They support it every day. You're in chains. Why? Because you can't hit a lick at a stick. And you can't do anything for yourself. You have to go and fight and vote for people that's going to let the government give you 30 cents on a freaking dollar.
But, Jeff, why is it that you're the one that's pushing this? Why aren't they? I feel like the Republicans, if they want the black vote, can get it. They know what to say.
Wait a minute. The Republicans say this. They say it all the time. But the thing is it doesn't matter because the people have been
conditioned to tone them out.
That's right.
No matter what we say. Alabama, there's no way for us to actually say anything like that we're going to give you government programs because we're not. The programs that we're talking about, we're not trying to increase the roles of welfare. We're trying to get people off welfare to make sure that they are sustainable on their own 2 feet. So it's kind of hard for us to tell you, vote for us. We're going to keep y'all in welfare, but our goal is to take you off welfare and to make sure that you can take care of yourself. It's kind of hard for us to say.
Free enterprise. Richard Milhouse Nixon, he created the Black Business Loan, and he created affirmative action. Richard
minority
Nixon was
business.
Not a
minority.
He was,
there's a difference.
No, it was a black business loan. It was a loan at the time.
Black business loan. That's what it was called. The program was. Now it wasn't minority business because white women weren't yet added to the minority status in America. That's when they started calling it minority business. Okay, he created those programs, and you know what happened? He did it. He didn't too much care for black people.
At all.
Okay? But guess what he did? He tried to work with them. He tried to give them the opportunity to take care of themselves. Because that's what was lost in the 60s with the Great Society program. Civil rights. You left your own neighborhood and started shopping in different neighborhoods. Because you could now.
440, your mic is on. Eric. 440, your mic is on.
Can I change the subject just briefly? I have a question to ask you.
Sure.
Okay. On the dunking tank, are you wearing the white thong bikini or not? If you do, I'll bring a roll of 20s. I'll bring a roll of 20s if you do that, please. And you will be going in the water. I'm all warm. My arm's going to be all warmed up.
Hey.
And
hey,
you
talking to a black woman.
Song.
I will be in. I'll be in a. I will wear a white bikini just for you.
Okay, that will work.
Kavina man,
he gone.
Oh, he gone already. Well,
I'm gonna catch a flight. I'm gonna catch a flight to Ohio just to throw some balls.
Come on now, though.
Y'all wrong.
You know
Y'all
what?
Wrong. Hold on.
That's
on
mute me. That's on mute my mic all the time.
Wrong is lying.
I'm out front.
You are so wrong. Eric, what you got to say? Eric.
Yeah, Tracy, I just find it funny that Mississippi, I mean, aren't those Republicans the ones down there trying to suppress their vote?
There you go.
No,
there you go.
I told you, there's no voter suppression until there's a major election. When there's an election that doesn't mean anything to anybody, there's no voter suppression. Don't worry about it. I keep trying to tell y'all, you guys just don't understand. They're using people. They're playing games on your mind, and they're making you believe things that's not true so that they can mobilize you and control you. And all I want you to do is wake up and at least know that you're being controlled. At least the prostitute knows she's being used.
Yeah,
it's bad to be used.
This is ridiculous.
But why haven't we heard anything about this in mainstream media?
Because it doesn't sell money. It doesn't sell ads.
But now, hold on. It sells ads when Republicans, when they're going after Republicans.
It sells ads. It's just...
Remember, the consistency of inconsistencies is just too consistent.
The mainstream media is the progressive people of America, and they do not want you to know this. They don't want this to be a problem. The IRS coming against conservatives. Conservatives are the only thing standing in the way of the progressives completely destroying America. I hate to say that because nobody believes this. But they're destroying it, and they're destroying it on purpose.
But we know, but the question is, why is it? You got Fox, MSNBC, you've got CNN, you've got headline news, you've got your broadcast news, but you don't hear anything about this.
Except on Fox.
Even on Fox, they're not making the deal on it as they would if it had been the other way. If this had been the other way, or something, I mean, you got to understand what they did with Trayvon Martin.
Oh, absolutely.
So tell me, why is them using people, going and allowing this to happen, showing people how mobilized they are and how zombie, how asleep they are? Why have they not gone after this issue?
It's called good cop, bad cop. Think about it. You got somebody that's playing good cop. You got somebody that's playing bad cop. Technically, both sides are on the same side because, again, it's the money that controls everything. So we play bad cop, we play good cop. Occasionally something slips out, and then we let it fade away. And what do? We forget that it even happened.
But I don't hear, I don't hear no black folks saying nothing about this. I don't.
Maybe it might
cut
off.
Oh, no. The Mississippi, the Mississippi NAACP is championing in this. That they're going to be willing to work with. They said they're going to be willing to work with Thad Conker. What kind of foolishness? They know good and doggone well.
Strom Thurmond
used the same tactic with the black hand coming in taking the job paper out of the white hand. You remember that long time ago?
That wasn't a deception.
Yeah.
That wasn't a deception. That was what was going on. And so he used that as a thing.
But
they deceived these people on purpose.
But they didn't deceive them, Jeff.
No, they used their brainwashing to get where they're going. And you want to talk about something? You want to talk about Uncle Tommen? This is Uncle Tommen to the nth degree.
Go ahead. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was good until I heard Joe Biden's ignorant comment. And again, I maybe I have no right to say this, but if I were a black person, I'd have been highly, highly offended when he put on that phony drawl and talked about y'all in chains. It was pejorative. It was condescending. It was lame. It really was. At that point, he could have said, Romney, if he had a brain, he would have said something more inclusive and not so obviously racially bent. He would have said something like, Romney wants to unchain the banks, which means Americans will all be back in chains to the banking system, especially those in our society who are underserved by the financial institutions. Then the people in the audience would have drawn whatever connection to themselves they wanted. But I hate when they do that kind of stuff, Tracy. Pretend they're a fan of the team. Pretend they know something about your town when they don't. And
so my question, my question is, how is it he can say something like that? How is it that we can go down to Mississippi and we can have these robocalls and we can have this ad talking about using the buzzwords to get you to go vote? How can we do all of this and no one call file?
I know.
I mean, I don't understand.
Because he's the party that gets away with that stuff consistently because they use rhetoric instead of
This was Republicans.
Well, then the Republicans are wrong for doing it, too. I was specifically talking about Joe Biden. I didn't hear the conversation.
No. I'm talking about this is Republicans. This is Democrats. This is establishment. This is news to me.
This stuff is just, I don't know. These people, they don't have any.
And you don't hear anyone in an upraise. You don't hear anyone talking about how people are being manipulated. You don't hear anyone saying, you know, wake up, black America. They're using you on both sides. You're going to die if you don't wake up.
Right.
You know, him talking about unchaining the banks, then on the other hand, blacks always complain about banks don't lend them money, which in many cases is a good idea not to.
Well, I mean that's still not the point because guess what? They don't loan money to people that are responsible. And that's the thing. I know two people in my family that had everything, including me. I had an excellent credit rating at one time. I had the 30% down to build my house, and guess what? They didn't want to loan me the money. Now tell me why. And the thing is that's part of what's wrong in America, which we have to change at the ballot box. But we keep on voting for the people.
Wait a minute. How are you gonna change at the ballot box?
You need to make deals with the people that you're putting in Congress.
You can't make a deal with them.
But Jeff, during the break, me and Covina Man were talking. We were talking about the definition of power. The definition of power is to have some situation like that. And to call it fair, to be able to say, to decide what's fair and what isn't. That's power. So that's what you witness.
But can I say this? This is my problem, and you've heard me say this over and over again. We African Americans have the power.
Sure do.
They have the power. That's why they use you for votes. President Obama is in the White House because of you. Don't get it twisted. Nobody wants you to give you the credit for what is done, but the Electoral College clearly shows you that if it had not been for the massive turnout in the urban settings where you live or where people of color live, he would not be in the White House.
Oh, Tracy, you're going to hear a whole lot of commercials like that come November.
Oh, I know. I know.
Come September.
Yeah,
is it power if it's not used? Is it really power if someone can come herd you like cattle? That's not power.
The problem is the power you have is being used by other people against you. It's being used. It was used in Mississippi to make a white man win.
Black voters is not. It will soon not be reveling, especially on a national. On national numbers. Heck, if they bring in 100,000 children across the border into a state, they plan on making that state change colors. And it's not blacks that they're bringing across. So they're not worried about what you... And see, we keep interchanging. You know, blacks that vote is not the same ones that's heavily dependent on government programs.
That's not true.
You got different.
No, Bianchi. If you statistically, if you looked at who stood in line, in the last few presidential elections. Those are people who did not have a job. Because it's
yeah,
only
you
those,
look
and
at
I
those
can say,
who stand in line to get
Pianchi,
food.
Pianchi, when I say this in the state of Ohio, people stood in line for hours to go vote when they could have voted by mail. You can't stand in line and you got 35 days to vote.
Well, in Missouri,
hold on,
Pianchi.
Hold on, Pianchi. Go ahead, Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah. Is that on the phone?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can somebody say the eulogy? I've been preaching this for the last 2 years. The black community is done.
Absolutely. No. It's not.
Jeff, are you with me now?
I'm with you 1,000% because
yep,
if they can't see this one and pull back off of it, it's over.
Yeah, I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
But in the media, see the media. The reason the media is not talking about this is because they're going to do this in coming up to November. It's all about money. These are paid campaign ads, and they're going to make money doing it.
You're right. It's about money. If you don't have businesses where you command ads, ain't no media listening to you, either TV nor print.
And that's the key to knowing that the black community is done, which is the entrepreneurial class. Once the entrepreneurial class is decimated, you really have the foundation to build a community. The black community, or whatever you call it, the black community, is done. And no one has any problem to prove that otherwise.
Plus, they depend heavily on government jobs, too. I was out of the RS office yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and, heck, the majority of the people in there was black women working.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting ready to shut the office down. July the 18th.
Yeah. Pianchi, my question to Jeff would have been when he was turned down for that bank loan, before he walked out the door, did he ask the next question, where did I fall short on qualifying so I don't make the same mistake again in the future? And then, because up until then, there could have been some legitimate reason, and his paperwork and appraisal could have come in wrong,
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something, man.
But whites do that.
Okay. Whites do that to black businesses, because I was in business.
Oh, yeah.
I was in business, and my business banker, commercial banker, was a young black man. I still deal with him from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he hadn't been in that position, then my story today probably would have been different, because I was already in business. I went to a conservative bank called Boltman's and gave them the same information, act like I wasn't in business, and asked for a meager amount of money, and they turned me down.
Yeah.
So, yes, those things do go on.
It happens to white people with white bankers, too, because they have a perception.
It happens with black bankers also.
Yeah.
You got some blacks that's just as notorious. So the thing is that I want to know what the rules are, and I want – just tell me what the rules are, and I would expect everybody to follow the same rules. That's it.
Right. And that's why some of these online applications are pretty good in a way, because they're not seeing who they're dealing with. They got to go on the criteria. You meet the criteria, it's either business or it's not business.
But the problem I have with what you're saying is, it's Stanley, by the way. The problem I have is what you're saying with the banks is once you know how the bank
Stanley,
works.
Stanley, we know your voice. You ain't got to tell us who you are. We know you.
Anyway, you know how the banks are. You know how they make their money. How could they come to us and tell them, no, I'm not going to loan you the money when they can invest money out of nowhere?
Well, that's a whole – well, because before they can invent money out of nowhere, they got to be able to take your promissory note, which is based on your credit to play and your promise to the Federal Reserve in order to print that money.
Yeah,
and
if they don't figure that you're
a good prospect, they're not going to mess with you.
Yeah, but if they have $1,000, they can add the $1,000 for them. It's $9,000 for us.
You know why the interest rates on a house is less than it is on a car? Because a house ain't going nowhere. They can always go get it back. but they got to expend some time and effort to go find your car when they get ready to go repossess it.
Yeah, but when you do the lending
and lo and behold, they're lending you cash.
But do you understand? They're lending me cash. They invented that bidding app. Basically, a bank can have $100,000, act like they have $900,000, and lend $800,000 that
million,
they don't have.
A million dollars
yeah. they don't have with interest that they don't have.
Well,
in
that's
pocket.
The way. That's the way they
that's
set
not
it up.
The way
to work now.
Can you imagine I could do that? And they're coming
well,
to
yes, the way
you,
they that's the way they set their system up to work, Stanley.
Well,
I mean, everybody falls in
smart,
on it.
And that's exactly.
You got
so
other countries, but see, we're not willing to say we pro Russian. We're not willing to say we pro Chinese. We're not willing to say we pro Gaddafi, who wanted to get rid of that system because it's unfair.
Right.
See, just like I was telling the other guy, we say that blacks don't stick together. And the ones that say that are pro-public schools, where children are being taught not to stick together.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're against school choice, then you.
For school choice.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying there are a lot of people that, but that's what I'm saying, but they are so concrete on Democrats or for black people, Republicans are racist. But you see stuff like that, and you say, well, how can, and they'll sit there, they can, in their minds, it works. I don't get it. I don't get that.
Yeah. If you're not willing to put all the pieces necessary together in order to get the proper outcome, then the hell with it. You cannot say blacks don't stick together. You cannot say these other things. Then at the same time, you for public schools where black children are being taught not to stick together and not to cohere. They're not taught nationalism, should I say. That's basically what you're talking. You're talking about nationalism. And when you're in a room and you stand up and say black nationalism, everybody hit the floor and go for cover.
I agree with you, Pianki. That's the thing that I have a problem when it comes to banks, when it comes to this. They set rules that they expect us to do, but they don't respect even – they don't even do those
and
rules.
And get this one. Get this one. I hear blacks always talking about blacks need to have their own banks. Well, hell, if you're going to have a bank, have a Sharia bank like those black Somalis do up in Minnesota. Oh, no, that's Muslim. So, I mean, you cannot win for losing. Why would you want to have a bank like you just got through describing is using those type of tactics? Well, if you're going to have a bank, that's the bank it's going to be, unless you have a Sharia bank like the Muslims use up in Minnesota and Chicago.
Right.
And that's the question. How come as a people we can't do something with them when they're saying, no, I'm not going to give you the loan, no, I'm not going to do this? How come the people don't have the thing to go against the bank and say, you know what, you don't even have the money, we're shutting you down?
Well, they ain't going to do that. You started to talk about some complicated stuff there now, man.
Because I'm sorry, once you know the truth about how banks work, how can you not be mad? How could they tell me this and tell me no for a loan when they take no responsibility of what they do?
Banks will give you money, but it depends on what your plan is.
Well, the thing about it is, though, family, it's their money.
It's not their money. They invented money that they don't even have.
It is their money.
No,
their
they invented money that they don't even have.
The number is 347-945-5229. And we're almost at the end of the day. It's 48 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on Friday. And I want you guys to have a good weekend. Please do not forget that Jeff's going to be at Chad Anthony's.
9 o'clock tonight.
And we also have New Vision New Day is going to be having their women's conference tonight over on, let me get the right address. 1970 Everett, and you've got the St. Christine. St. Christine's annual Paris Festival is going to be tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and Sunday.
St. Christine's is in Austintown, correct?
No, St. Christine's is on the west side, right before you get to Austintown. Right there off of Canfield Road.
Really?
Yeah.
Where am I? Oh, yeah. What am I talking about? Yeah,
yeah.
Off Canfield Road.
Canfield Road.
I have...
That's over there by you.
Yeah, I come down, come to the station. I need to get some fair food in my life, so I think I'm going to have to stop through there.
We'll be at the Canfield Fair this year for 2 days.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Canfield Fair, making a little noise out there.
That's not till September.
Oh, I don't know how that's going to work.
September.
We got to share the stage with them people over there at K.
Where? The country people.
Yeah, because remember last year we were in the afternoon, the country people were gone, but now we gotta deal with Kay. So, you know, I'm trying to go up and be like Doug. Takes a lot to be like Doug.
He's the manager. He's the manager.
No.
I mean, what
he, Kate, he's just a DJ. Kay is Doug over next door.
I thought Doug was.
I don't know
what talk about.
Have
him.
You? I don't know what Doug does. Doug bosses people around. He can do whatever he wants to. His ratings are out the roof.
But he got a cool bald head.
No, I don't want to be that cool. That's too cool. Michigan man, we're not dead yet. We're on a respirator. But there's light. We can come back to life.
Didn't you read my announcement in the Facebook?
Hi, Stanley.
Hi, Tracy.
No.
Go ahead. I'm going to be
go ahead.
The problem is, and I'm coming back to this, and I'm going back to Jeff also. The problem I have with banks, another thing is, we don't know in our life the rules. They ask us to respect a certain kind of rule, a certain kind of way to do this. But the banks, if we take an example of the bank, they don't even respect their own rule, and they have the audacity to say no to us. When they take more chance with our money, when they take more things in our money, that we should be shutting them down, saying you should have a favor of having us as people.
But that's our fault. That's our fault again, Stanley. See, the problem is we think that we can play outside the rules, and you can't change anything from the outside. You've got to get inside. And the Democrats make sure that you're never, even those people that are elected, never have the power to get anything done.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes.
There's a Michigan. Two things. One, you say we're on a respirator, right? Or a life support?
Yes. Yes.
And you said it's still possible. Can you tell me what are you using to determine that it's still possible? What did you see on the horizon to say that it's still possible?
You know, when I look at the future, there's some young people out there, and they are really trying to make a difference. We just got to go. We have to go out and get them, find them, and pull them in. But it's still possible. We still can make significant change. All is not lost.
Well, listen to me. This is what we. If that's possible, which I'm saying is not, but even if it's possible, you owe the black community more than that type of open-ended answer. We're losing to the extent we're losing, and all you can say is, when I ask you, what do you see on the horizon that says anything otherwise, and you just keep saying, it's possible. That's not going to fly.
Listen, we have some young people who are in colleges, and they're in IT. We've got some people that are trying to make a difference that are African Americans who have a head on their shoulders. We've got some young. We were down at Central State earlier this year. We've got some young people who are actually getting it, and they're getting involved politically as well as business wise. The question is, they're going to make a difference if we give them the opportunity to do so. Yesterday I talked about succession, and I was talking to you about succession plans. We have to stop holding on to power so long as older people and let young people be our legs and sit back and advise them and give them information. Our problem is we hold on to stuff for so long, we wait until it's dead, and then we drop dead and wonder why they can't live when we leave.
You know why I like that optimism, Jason?
No, I don't.
Because it doesn't focus on particular groups of Africans. The overall view of Pan-Africanism is, how will the African race be prevalent, or what will that place be in the future, the African race? Not African Americans, not just Africans in Caribbean. And that's the wrong view. That's the only choice we have left. If we think this is about the African American, we're still done.
But listen, you're not still done. I mean, when I say this, we can keep hope alive if we begin to educate people and let them know that the person who created the slogan is out to kill you now. He came to save you, but now that he's found a better way, his words will kill you now because he sold his soul, or he sold you. See, our problem is we don't believe that we've been sold.
You know what? If you get on the internet and Google political speeches at the 1800s, you could take some of your speeches or Jeff's speeches or any other civil rights leader speeches and change the date from 1831 to 2013, and it would be relevant.
You can do the same thing as Martin Luther King's speech.
At what point will we realize that as far as politics in America, you've seen the best of how blacks play politics. As far as business, as far as education, you all act like we haven't been there, done that. In the black schools, been there, done that.
Your black school, this is not about black schools. That's just the problem with the black school is you got people teaching that don't know any better. The problem with our schools is the teachers don't know anything. They're reading from a book.
I'm not talking about public education. I'm talking about
black education. You can't teach what you don't know.
Listen.
So Michigan, you don't believe what everybody Johnson is saying.
Oh, Michigan, I can't hear you and Jeff at the same time. You guys need to decide who's going to talk first.
I just want to say you're incorrect what you just said.
What? You can't teach what you don't know?
Yeah, because there's no such thing as not that. We're not ignorant like that.
Who is it?
Black people. We have very, very educated people here.
Well, I didn't say educated. I said you can't teach what you don't know.
Yeah, you said, you said it in conjunction with a statement about school.
I said people are teaching stuff that they don't know. So you've got teachers teaching government. And I'm talking about black teachers who are proficient in teaching government and history, and they still don't understand it and or know it.
You're in public.
Whether it be in a black school or whether it be in a white school.
Yeah, Tracy, you're missing things, and that's an identity crisis. Public schools are not black schools.
Michigan, who has their mic on? Who has a... I did not say a public school. I said public schools and black schools. They're both the same.
No, they aren't.
Yes, they're not.
Because black schools do well.
Yes, education is one thing, and I'll tell you during the break, and I'll break this down very simply. You cannot teach what you don't know. And most people, they have an education or something, but they don't know how to function in it.
I, like I said, when you get black educators, true black educators, they know what they're doing. That's why those schools do excellently wherever you find them.
They do excellent in actually teaching academia. But when it comes to actually teaching functioning and application, they are still failing in our community.
I totally disagree.
They do well in teaching function and critical thinking also, Tracy.
That's
you
right.
made a mistake. You open your – so you just got to admit
done.
That you
hey,
made
you,
a mistake.
Yeah.
You dog's all right, yes. You done. Get on out of there. Go back to the weight room.
Congratulations, I'm
trying to snow us over.
Michigan, so you don't see what Umar Johnson is doing as viable. You think that's a bad idea?
There's a lot of the things. What he's doing, there's a lot of that going on. Yeah, that's a good idea if he can pull it off.
Umar Johnson, the Frederick Douglass, Marcus Garvey Academy for Boys.
It's a good school, here's the point.
Yeah, okay, let me ask Michigan right quick. I'll try to ask Michigan.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to ask Michigan.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right,
go ahead.
Let me say, it's not that I don't see the value. I know it is. In other words, it's almost like because we have no other alternatives, you have to do something. And to me, you know, the best that, well, because I know Umar Johnson was a Pan-Africanist, I would say his school would be on point. Because I'll tell you right now, he's not going to teach those black kids to be fumbling around here in America. I already know it. That's not what he's going to teach them.
if he don't teach them business and economics,
right,
and he's just teaching black history and stuff like that, then he's going to be like the rest of them.
That's correct, but he's not going to do that. No, Umar's not going to do that. He's going to teach them to get those skills and things that the continent need and Haiti, and that's what he's going to do, and that's going to be powerful. But you, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? You can only do so many of them schools in America. So you're talking about, like, creating vanguard class, you know, like a vanguard class. So I would support Umar Johnson because I know he's a Pan-Africanist.
What's vanguard? I've heard that in association with Pamphlet.
NAACP, Pamphlet. Urban League, Southern
vanguard,
Christian Leadership.
Vanguard, okay, a vanguard group, Alabama, is if you look at any culture, it's never the masses that determine the outcome of a culture in the first place. Even the European culture. The masses of Europeans don't run European culture. It's just a vanguard group that come out of the institutions, the secret societies, and the business class. And so African people need a vanguard group as well. The skills and things that I think that he would be teaching them would be teaching them that they represent that vanguard group.
Hold on. Let me ask you this then. So Dr. Claude, when he preaches about business, and when I go and repeat what Dr. Claude says to somebody, and I hear everybody's not a business owner, I think that they're misinterpreting what you're saying. Yeah, everybody's not a business owner.
Yeah, they are. Well, you're right.
We don't have enough as it is. We don't have any. Yeah, they are missing stuff because we don't have any. We got 1 in 100. So
you don't have no viable. Between a business,
entrepreneur,
I stay away from. Because entrepreneur falls into place of people doing retail that they bought wholesale from somebody else.
Different
than what's already in the
community. Right, that's correct. That's all you can see here. That's all that's left here for blacks. So you're absolutely right, Bianchi. And you need the type of business that's building in the, like you said, technology and manufacturing. And that's not going to happen here for blacks.
But hold on now, didn't the Jews start doing that exact thing you just described and took it to the next level and started buying up industries themselves?
Yeah,
they started buying stuff wholesale. That's exactly what they did as merchants.
Yeah, but I'm saying, okay, here's the other scenario that we're going to look at. Are blacks in America, if blacks in America, their only market is blacks in America, those businesses won't survive either, because you're not going to get any support from whites. You're not going to get any support from Asians. You're not going to get any support.
That's why I say you got to have viable. Remember that, viable.
Right,
that's what
viable. Right.
What you just said is true, but if you don't have viable businesses, you control it from the very bottom going into the person's mouth, and even the toilet tissue is going to wipe it when it comes out, then you're absolutely right.
Now, Bianchi, you tell me how that scenario can happen here in America for blacks at this point.
Well, it can, because you can. If you got them economic markets, well, see, it has to be all those things have to be together in one thing. You got to have the education because you got to control the mindset of the children so that they know that you're supposed to buy your own folks' stuff first. Then it filters on down to you got to be manufacturing, producing these things yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying.
Not in this country, but I'll bring it back in.
Let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you guys a question. So how can I get to manufacturing from where I am now?
Hold on. Here's the last statement. You said not in this country, but now.
You got to go over where you have competitive advantage, and that's in Africa. As a business person, not everybody. See, here's another thing y'all don't want to believe, too. Black people need to be exploiting black people themselves and not everybody else.
Bingo.
That's it.
Bingo. You're right on point, man. You're absolutely on point.
If a black person is exploiting black people and deriving the profits, you got more of a chance to to see something positive out of those profits that the black person is taking than you would an Asian. You know you ain't going
to
have no chance there. And with anybody else.
So Mimi and her sex tape swinging from a shower curtain, that should have been, she would have went to a black company and released the tape instead of Vivid Entertainment.
Hey. Yeah.
Well,
I don't even know what you're talking about, but
Yeah, I don't know what you're
talking
about.
This chick from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, she have a sex tape release. She's 45, 50 years old, up there swinging from a shower curtain with a dude, and everybody talking about it. This dude finna make $30, $40, $50 million off of her. They gave her a couple of peanuts. You know,
well, here's the point, though. If we making those peanuts she eating, yes. I don't give a damn why.
No.
See, you got the extra. Mimi is got to wash her butt. She's going to need soap. She's going to need towels. She's going to eat. So you got to exploit everything else that Mimi does.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you, he's right on point. See, we got to pull the sentiment out, brothers. We're so sentimental about this African-American. And we shouldn't be if we're talking about position in the race. What makes us believe, and Amos Wilson said this. He said, there's no proof in nature or history that people will always progress. He said, some groups regress and die.
But listen,
that's a possibility.
Let me put this in there, okay? I've been listening for a while, and the thing that I'm looking at is this, okay?
Yeah.
What Bianchi said, we need to exploit. What you said, we need to have a business, you know, that sells or caters more just than just one arena. And that's the whole thing. I mean, Bill Gates went out there and he created Microsoft, okay? Microsoft is not a company just for white folks. It's a company for all folks because he sold a product that everybody wanted, okay? And then he convinced them that everybody needed his product. So he basically created a market and created a product and marketed. So, hey, you got to come to him if
but
you want. What do you got?
But, Covina, man, that ain't true. Because right now, China is getting off of IBM. They're getting off of Oracle.
What I'm saying is, he created the product.
Everybody's not accepted to it.
No. I'm talking about when he first created it, Bianca.
Yeah,
I'm talking about now. And Bill Gates, Stephen Jobs pretty much did the same thing. Henry Ford did the same thing. You know, all these companies, they do things, but they market them. They create it so that they're going to a broad market, not just a one specific.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Why are you telling me that there has never been a black person? Where's the black Bill Gates? Where are our counterparts? It seems like
actually they sold their patents.
They
sold our patents.
But you know what? One of the things I think that we never did look into, you know, as far as the Maafa, the slavery part, you know, we talk a good deal about, you know, them hanging blacks and stuff like that, and that's all the devastating stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. As it relates to the black community, it was that devastating to disrupt black economic progress than it is for hanging blacks. Because you got to remember this. If you look at the business development back in the 1800s and the way that they were accelerating, we wouldn't even have this question about where the black Bill Gates are. They were in the making.
You had black billionaires in this country back in the 1830s.
That's what I'm saying. So this is what I'm saying. So we're looking at the state of blacks now. It takes hundreds of years, man, to build those empires. So we're looking at the blacks now. So, man, why y'all ain't got no empires? Man, you can't do that, man.
You had black oil barons and... You know, one thing I can say, and I agree with Jeff, and I've said it before, blacks got all the necessary skills and talents to turn their situation around. But it's going to be blacks exploiting other blacks. That's where the line has to be drawn. You don't come in my – I can't come in your – if I come in your house, you ain't going to let me roam all through all the rooms in the basement looking in the cupboards in the refrigerator. You just ain't going to allow that.
But Bianchi, what about blacks exploiting blacks and whites as well? You got Wally Ames.
Well, first you got to exploit your own. You got to establish a strong base.
Wally Ames.
I went to the other bank? You remember I told you the story about me going to the other bank? Well, if I didn't have a strong relationship with a bank, I would never would have went to that bank.
Well, I think I agree with South Carolina in that I can go. I got a white bank I'm going to right now where it's predominantly it's all white people working there, run it. I'm gonna get money from them. I would prefer going to a black bank, but I don't have First Tuskegee's the only bank we got, and they said no. So I had to go to the white bank. They give me the money. You gotta go where you can get the authority, the power, and then go back and help.
But
right now you can't just think.
Cut you
can't
off.
Think that we don't have it yet.
Let me give you an example. And I talk about this brother all the time. He wrote the book called Baker's Son, Laura Hawthorne, the $100 million Jamaican America who owns Golden Crust Bakeries. When he first started, he was going to a white company that was doing his patties. You know the things that those little meat pies that Jamaicans and Caribbean people like?
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's
a
special. Yeah. Well, the white company was producing him like $5,000 a week. And he was doing a good business. Then the white folks said, well, we can only do you $2,500. Why? Because somebody else white was trying to come in on his business, and they was going to cut him off. So what did he do? He went down Jamaica in the forest and found some old man down there that knew the recipe, and he brought him back. He went to China and bought his own equipment. So he created his own strong base.
But let me ask you this. Hold on, Pianca. You kind of skipped over a lot of steps that were taken. He used and manipulated that white bank to get where he was financially able to go to China and purchase equipment, go to Jamaica and purchase and get this guy, pay him, fly him in, get his visa, get him to come to America and work for him. That takes money and resources that he used in the system he was in, right where he started.
But I said they will cut you off at some point in time. They always do.
Okay, fine. But if you cut me off and I'm already a millionaire, you cut me off, I do all this stuff. I'm not even got all type of choices then. You got choices.
So
then
what you going to do with all the people that you work? You got to establish your own so you don't have to depend.
I agree.
We're not disagreeing.
What I'm saying, I'm not arguing with you. I'm saying, and you got to start where you are. Some black people, if you ain't in Montgomery, if you're in the middle of South Carolina, they don't have a black bank. All you got is white banks. And you have saved up, let's say, $10,000. Took you 3 years to do it. You come in the bank, you got some sort of down payment, you can make a move. Do it, man. Don't be like, well, I ain't going to work with them because they white. That's stupid. Get what you can where you at.
I agree with you. You want to control yours, then go into controlling theirs. It's about that piece of that pie. That pie is already established with slices that people control. Once you control your big piece of slice, then you go in and start taking pieces off of other people's slices until you cut them down to nothing.
That's the art of war right there. That's Sun Tzu right there. That's what they talk about, going in. Act, be calm, shut up, don't run your mouth, don't let them know where you're coming from. If that's what you want to do, then do that. But if you're coming out there, guns blazing, and you ain't got two nickels to rub together, I don't really want to run the white folks out of business. I just want us to be empowered. That's all. I
want to run them out of the business that they control stuff that we need.
Yeah, if they got a monopoly on it, yeah. I mean, if you want something, they running 99% of them don't want. They cutting you out. Yeah, I'm gonna cut them back out. You cut me out, I'm gonna cut you out.
That's why China's getting rid of IBM, Oracle, and that other company. I can't think of that name.
Where's the black IBM? Where's the black Oracle?
Because that's too much political power. Because the United States say we sanctioning China, and what in IBM is going to cut out the maintenance that they provide over the products that China purchased from them. Plus, Chinese say the stuff is too expensive, and they able to reproduce it in their own country. We're using their own in-house a whole lot cheaper.
If you look at some of those IT companies, I think there's some brothers out of, I think it's Uganda. I think they got one of the biggest cell phone distribution things on the continent of Africa. So this is what I'm saying. The potential for what we're talking about is not the potential for that manufacturing and that technology. That's not going to happen on the American soil. This is what I keep saying. I need some people to say, yeah, it can happen here. You can show me no scenario where blacks will ever go back into mechanized farming in America with the resources it takes to go into mechanized farming in America and a network to be able to distribute that to blacks and blacks that have a consciousness to buy only black, you can't give me no scenario where that shit going to happen in America. Not one. That's not going to happen. You have to have all
the only thing
looking at the same time. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, it would be kind of it's not it would be easier to happen 20 years from now than what it is now. I'm not no one who say now you're not going to control everything. No, because white folks are going to fight you to the. And I'm just saying because not saying that they're evil. It's because when people have things in their grasp, they don't want to give it up. Just like Sterling's with the Clippers, and that there was a con. Anytime that you got bids for $700,000, $500 million company, you got bids from blacks that's coming in at $1.1 billion, $1.2 billion. Then all of a sudden, you got a white man say, "Well, I give you $2 billion for it." Well, that right there tell you something funny is going on.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Do you think whites in America, man, would allow blacks to go into mechanized farming to such a degree that they're going to take shelf space away from white farmers?
Yeah, I think they could. Yeah, because you got black farmers down there in Mississippi now that's doing very well in the cotton business. How are they going to stop you, Michigan? Legally, how are they going to stop you?
I don't come in. First of all, if you don't have the outlet for the shelf space, that's the first way they're going to stop you.
We're talking about mechanized farming where you have access to world markets. I mean, when you grow your cotton, they're gonna use
the government to stop you too. They're not just
that ain't the way that works. When you produce rice, you take your rice to a mill. The mill stores until the market is right. Then they put it on the ships and send it off. So they can't stop you from doing that.
They can't stop you from doing it. But at the same time, look at right now when you try to start a chicken farm business or whatever. These big corporations come in. The corporations have a monopoly on this game. They're not going to correct. And it's just a few guys that's
they
in there.
They can't stop
hey,
you from that, man.
Alabama, hey guys, listen.
My father-in-law, you know, owns 35 acres in Georgia. Okay.
What is he doing?
Everything but 5 acres is farmland. However, he makes more money renting out the farmland and letting somebody else, you know, farm it instead of him doing it.
That ain't the reason. The reason why is because you on Blog Talk Radio when you should be down there farming. That's the reason why.
And Alabama brought up the chicken farming. Now, why would you risk doing chicken farming and your market is going to be worldwide? Why would you risk trying to do a mechanized chicken farming here when the market in Africa for that is wide open?
That's right.
With hardly any resistance. Why is
there
trying to do it here?
So you telling me I can go to Africa right now and set up a chicken farm?
Yes, hell yeah, man.
For about $1.5 million. You don't even have to have that much.
There's a guy here right now. What he's done, he had a pond, and his daddy put eels in the thing about 50 years ago. Nobody fishes in the thing, but what he did was he found out that the type of eel that is in that pond is a delicacy over in Japan. So guess what he's been doing for the past 10 years? Selling eels in Japan.
I read about that too.
That's what
Dr. Claw's doing with his own fishery.
I took a fact-finding mission of some Nigerians up to Iowa State University a year ago to visit a dairy farm. I was talking to some others about chicken farms, for over in the Niger Delta in Nigeria. So yes, man, if you had that,
I want to know is they got a shortage and how much do they pay? What's the price of chickens over there? Is there a shortage? How would my distribution be set up?
You'll be raising them over there, so you ain't got to worry. All you need is the equipment, the infrastructure.
Right.
That's all you need.
And to me, that's where the black educated, if you say we got a chance in America.
You could build that.
Black educated, you need them over there in Africa and teaching how to, I think Alex, Alex is an engineer. That's what you need over there, man, so they can set up those mechanized factories and things of that nature to be able
to need
that,
is some money.
Produce that stuff. Yeah.
China sells you everything
you
need.
Okay, so if I do that, I get over there.
I
can get to Uganda real easy. I got connects in Uganda. People I know over there that's real, like with the president and stuff. But
let me
just
tell you
to
how you do it, real general. You figure out how many chickens you want to sell a month. That's all you need to know. The Chinese
will
design your farm.
They
will tell you
the
equipment that you need. Tell you what it's going to cost. Everything down to everything.
The Piagi right about that, because I was talking with a Chinese company about a bottle waddling setup. They got it all. If you want to do anything mechanically or mechanized, man, they bad. They can hook it up. Yep.
And that's the way you really get back at what you call white supremacy.
Let me interject one thing, though. What I find real weird is I actually know that's true because I was looking at some water park equipment, and they sell it for pennies on the dollar. Like, they sell water park equipment, like a wave machine, for like $15,000. You will make millions of dollars a month if you just opened up a water park. Just like, they already got them over in China. And those things, they'll come out for like $2 million. You can set up a water park that looks like it's worth $30 million.
Anything you want to do, them people are already doing it. You can buy brand new dump trucks in China with the same specifications as used dump trucks here in the United States and pay half the price.
But you know what? Get me though. Why is it a lot of brothers around here with all this drug money and doing all this different stuff? Why they
don't
say
don't know?
Why they hop a darn plane and go? That's just stupid.
They don't know.
I'm sitting like, you buying all this dumb stuff you're doing. Hop a plane, go set yourself up, set your family up for generations. That's what Prescott Bush and the Kennedys realized when they was doing booze. We take it. We don't think like that when we say it, but we don't think like that.
They don't know about it, man. That's the only reason.
It's
logical
they
don't know about it.
When I was stationed over in Korea, back in the 80s, man, that's when they were doing the members only jackets. This is where I got an education. Those things were selling for $60 a pop at all the Neiman Marcus and all those stores. We could buy them all day long, anywhere from $2.50 to $5 a jacket, depending on the quantity that you bought. I had guys, man, taking those jackets and buying, $300 and $400 worth and shipping them back to the States and had somebody out on the street selling them for them. There was one sergeant first class, Army guy, he sent enough of them back home that he paid for the last 2 years of his daughter's college just by selling those jackets for the period of time that he was over there. You can find different places that can, like on Alibaba.
I found a guy that makes motorcycles. Alibaba, AliExpress, they make motorcycles and sell them for $400-$500 that you sell. And then we sell them for $3,000 and $4,000.
Oh yeah. Yep. I had no idea about Alibaba until you told me about it. I mean, there's things up there that I'm looking at, and it's like, yeah, you can do this.
Go on Alibaba and type on water park, amusement park equipment. Go on Alibaba and type. Watch how cheap it is.
It's real cheap.
I didn't know that stuff was that cheap.
It was real cheap. It was real
cheap. I mean, it ain't $300, but for $10, $15, $20, you could take $200,000 and buy everything you need for a water park. Just with $200,000.
Yeah, but you can't store in a water park here, though. Can you?
You can.
Yeah, it won't be as successful as storing in some place where they don't have none.
I mean, yeah, but it depends on where you are. If you're in Alabama, we ain't got but a few of them. If I open up a park in Montgomery, Alabama, we don't have nothing for at least 160 miles in either direction for a water park. It would blow.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Keep your sights on Africa, brother.
Man, I'm mad at you though, Michigan, man. I didn't ask you to call me about 50 times, man.
Yeah, I know, man. I'd be so damn busy.
I'm mad at you. I'm like, man, every time I hear your voice, my blood pressure go up. My body won't call me, man. This is the best time. I ain't working now. I ain't working right now. I'm chilling.
Yeah. And that's where we, well, I really want to talk to you now when you said that Uganda, because that's where we're doing stuff at Uganda right now.
Man, I got a girl that's over the Miss Uganda pageant, man. Like, they just think we're about to have it next month. And I know her real good.
Yeah.
And I got the president of the whole country, everything. That's why I really take it personal with that whole, you know, America trying to force them with that gay homosexual stuff, because they don't play that over there. And I talk to them, they don't want to do it. Most of them don't.
Yeah,
that's a crazy-ass Obama.
Yeah,
see, that's
another
thing. You talk about Democrats and Republicans. Republicans just as bad. Democrats and Republicans, when it comes to foreign policy, hardly is no difference between the two. Except on certain specific things like abortion, and you just mentioned homosexuality.
Yeah,
now, Bush was
Obama basically
abortion.
Push somebody on and make them have gay marriages. Hey, you can't make them folks do that.
Let me get your email address. I'm gonna shoot you an email today. I think once we start talking via email, it'll go from there.
I bet. Bravo. Well, it's B as in Bill. Bravo. So B as in Bravo. D as in Durango. So DD and then green, like the color, spelled out. You ready? Yeah, DD Green at the at symbol.
Okay. Yeah.
William, as in William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Minus.
Yeah.
Or dash or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Delaney, D as in Durango, E L A N as in negative, or Nancy, E Y.
Okay, so it's DD Green at William.
.com, yeah. D.D. Green. D as in Bill. It's Bill D. Green. Bill Delaney Green is my name.
Oh,
so it's D.
D.D. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
D. Bravo Durango. D.D. Green. At William Dash Delaney. Yeah. Hit him up, man. Hit him up. I'd rather call. That email thing's slow for me. I can call in. I can get a lot said in 5 minutes.
Well, I'm going to send you
that. You must be related to Martin Delaney then.
Nah.
All right, do that.
Yeah,
I know you're a little covert. You got COINTEL. They watching you, huh?
Well, man, I mean,
I was being funny.
Yeah.
You must be related to Martin Delaney then.
Nah, man, my dad named me Bill Delaney because he was Delaney. He was reading some magazine, some novel, and the guy's name was Detective Delaney. So. That's why he gave me that middle name. I hated that middle name when I was little. Now I kind of like it. Yeah, man, I wouldn't mind hopping the plane, going over there and doing some research and finding some stuff out. I do business over there. I don't have no problem with it. I'll be glad to go over there. And you're right, the Chinese, like one thing I know they don't have over in Africa, a lot of it's urban clothes, a lot of clothing. They don't have certain things like that, and if they do, it's real expensive.
If you're in a position in Alabama to where you got a European bank that's going to work with you, man, I'm telling you, that's you halfway there.
But see, the thing is, you can't tell them you're going to fly to Africa. You got to tell them, I'm going to buy this house.
Right.
They got.
I want to refinance this house and pull out $70,000 to do X, Y, Z. Then you take it over there.
Man, I'm telling you, man, if you're there, just hold still. You mean once you get it.
That's what we were talking about yesterday. I think it's very easy to get your hands on some money through real estate. Real estate is the easiest. You don't have to be bright and brilliant. You just got to be able to count, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. That's it.
Yep. It is the easiest way to get your hands on working capital. It is real estate. In America.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely. I don't see why people even try to go business. You'll hear me talking about business too tough until I get my hands on a nice big lump sum check. Then I'll probably go out there and try. I'm not gonna try that when I'm right now in gathering mode right now. I'm just trying to get as much equity and use that as a down payment to go in. I actually want to build one of those conveyorized car washes.
Yeah. It's rough over here, man. I've been in business all my life, and I'm still in business, but I'm not looking to do anything else here in America. I ain't kidding. Like I said,
well, you say you're doing business over in Senegal, ain't you?
Uganda. Yeah.
You're doing business in Uganda, too?
Yeah, that's what I told you. Yeah. Yes, sir. Right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah, man, my own part, we about to go over there for a while.
Yeah, we got a micro-lending company.
Who?
A micro-lending company.
Oh, okay, like y'all do loans over there and stuff?
Yep.
Okay. Honestly, I think the fact that it's not developed provides for a lot of opportunity, and we can't just sit and wait. I think right now, with the way China is right now, going over there, you can hop a plane, go over to China, because I was actually going to fly over there for Christmas one time. Fly over there, get some connections with some guys that make scooters and come back here and get them shipped here and sell them. There's this guy in California that's done that. He sells those scooters for next to nothing. I mean, they make them for like a couple of $100s. And they sell it to you real cheap, man. You can come back over here. These scooters are $4,000 scooters, $5,000.
Well, the best way to do them is have them shipped over, disassemble them here. As you can send more scooters using less space, and you know, it's an advantage doing that.
Yeah, that's actually, I had a guy that did that. He bought the electric ones one Christmas and paid me $30 each for each one I put together. It took me about like 20 minutes to do it. 30 minutes,
yeah.
You know, 20, 30 minutes. And I set up that. This is when I was in college. And he, yeah, I was happy because I'm making me $700, $800, but he doing it. He making a killing because he was selling them for $250. He was getting them real cheap. But I would have to go and see an area in Uganda or all over Africa. I have to go and see what they don't have. And then I'll have to get to know the people, talk to them, see what they like.
The way to make money in those countries is to take what they have and process it there, then sell it to the rest of the world.
Yep.
That's the way to make money.
Yep. But like I said, Alabama, once you're ready to rock and roll, I got some people. Well, you said you got a couple connections, but you know, we do need to just use the connections that we've already set up. It ain't nothing new. So I got a couple connections that, well, once you say you're ready to go, I'm going to give it a couple of people.
Well, when are you going over there?
I'm trying to go. I wanted to go this summer, but before the year is out, man, I'm headed back over there. Let me know.
I might go over there for a week or so.
Okay. Well,
I'm
going to
go over there, man.
Yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks.
You go to the country's embassy in Washington D.C. and you can get unless you know somebody, and they can walk your paperwork to that embassy and get your visa while you're here in the States. You never want to go to another country and get a visa in the airport.
No, so I'm saying some of them don't do that. Some of them they'll just let you in. But I'm just trying to see. Which if Uganda's one of them, because I needed one for Ethiopia when I went.
Yep, if you go to Ethiopia, get a visa from the office here in this country.
They got a place in Atlanta that do all of them. They got a place right here in Atlanta that do it.
Yeah, but you spend a lot of money like that. They charge you a heck of a fee. But what I'm saying is never go to another country, then attempt to get a visa while you're there.
My homegirl from Uganda got stuck in Chicago because she was trying to go to Indonesia. Indonesia don't have a Ugandan embassy, so she got stuck in Chicago, and got wound and ain't leave here for about 3 months. Was stuck in came out here to Atlanta, and then she went up to Boston and stayed up there for a while. Then she went back to Uganda. Took about 4 or 5 months to get home, but she'd already been gone a month and a half by the time she got stuck.
But you already got your passport, don't you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, okay. This is about my third one. I'm about to run out. I'm finna have to go get another one in 2 years. I've been everywhere, man. I love to travel, man.
That's good, man.
When I flipped houses, I wasn't about rims and cars and going to strip clubs. I want to see the world. I want to see what's out there. So
yeah,
that's what I did.
Well, see, you lucky. You ain't tied down.
That's the thing, man. Get married.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll do it to you. Well, look here, I'm finna go in this gym, man. I'm standing outside, man. Folks looking at me like I'm crazy.
All right, fellas. Yeah.
Hey, right, send me that email, though.
Yep, yeah,
all right.
Yep, that's, I'm going to do that today. Yep, peace.
All right, bye. All right.
Yeah, Michigan, man, if you had trucks over in some of those countries, you could start a whole trucking industry. You still there, Michigan, man?
I think he may have left. I have to say it was very nice interest listening to the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, a lot of people are very interested in doing their own thing the correct way, would I say. Should I say the out-of-the-box way?
Yeah. Yeah, I have managed information systems contracts for a company for the federal government for a number of years and ended up doing 22 years in the Marine Corps, et cetera, et cetera. And I got out of it because I realized how much money they were actually getting. I mean, my smallest contract was like $7 million. My biggest contract was $42 million. But I was a salaried employee with, how you say, made great money, but poor quality of life.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to, well, now I'm working to retool. I'm sorry, my name is Zurian Bennett. Now I'm working on trying to retool and do all of that stuff. I've written 4 books. The book I've been pushing of recent is one called Positive Self-Defense for Women. And I thought it was interesting when you were talking about selling to your own, because most of the people that buy my books are Caucasians. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's the subject matter, I'm not sure. But that's where I seem to get most of my reaction from. You know, even when you ask for, you know, tell them, hey, you bought the book. If you liked it, could you go on Amazon and give it a review? Almost all white people are giving me a review, you know. So it's just, it's really sometimes interesting trying to work with our people, so to speak.
Well, that's because of education. If you don't control that, see, people, we don't want to admit, and not all, but there's a certain course of events that happen, has to happen in order to derive the results that you want. And if you're not willing to put all those pieces together, you know, it'd be just like a taking a child, going from kindergarten all the way to the 12th grade. Well, you have to go through, when you reach each one of those levels, there's things that you have to be acclimated with before you can go on to the next level.
Right.
And if the 12th grade is the ultimate thing that we talk about, well, then you got to put all those things before that in place. It doesn't have to happen in any certain prescribed order, but it would be nice if they did happen. You know, people develop habits because of education. And education can come out of a home. It can come out of a formal setting like a school. And if you're not teaching your children these things to support the thing that goes on in their neighborhood, to if you got a school and your school is teaching subjects where your children would go into disciplines like social justice rather than becoming an anesthesiologist, where your children would go into disciplines like being a librarian rather than coming out being a gas and petroleum engineer, where you're going to have a lot of discretionary money, well, don't depend on your school having a large endowment.
Right. Right. But it's just, I don't know. I think I'm pro-African American just about everything I've done. I mean, I'm pro-everybody, but, I mean, my preference, of course, is my own. However, most of the people that patronage or show patronage to the stuff that I've done, even my martial arts school, you know, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, and my school was in a little place called Woodbridge, Virginia. Almost all of my students were white, and almost all of my students were from outside of Woodbridge. They were from Fairfax and D.C. and Maryland and out in Dulles, and I couldn't understand it. And when I used to ask them, I would say, well, I got a question for you. You got to pass a ton of martial arts and karate and jiu-jitsu schools. Why are you coming here? What these white people would tell me is, we come here because I did my research on you. And I used to think that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
To where I could go up the street and see a Korean school, and just about everybody at that Korean school
was from the area, yet almost all of my students were from outside. Now, most of my students were adults, which is kind of weird, too, but, you know, it was because they were looking, I guess you could say I kind of had a niche market, but it was all outside of my general area, which I thought was a specific area, which I thought was crazy.
Well, I can understand why that goes on, but, you know, people, there's main things that you should be able to control in your own community, and that's the food that your people eat, the housing, and service jobs. Others shouldn't be coming from miles around, taking over your service jobs, your firefighters, police, but you cannot control the police if you don't control the politics, and you cannot control the politics if you don't have the business to support their campaign. Somebody else will buy them out from under you while you just merely go vote. And, you know, those are part of the scenario of things that have to be in place before you can derive the results that you really would like to see.
Yes, sir. Have you also noticed that very few of us are very proactive? We're just about always reactive?
Well, yeah, that was a learned behavior.
Yeah.
You know, blacks have gotten most of the things that, not saying most, but blacks have gotten a lot of the things that permit them to enjoy themselves through federal courts. And the reason why the federal courts have been so passive to blacks because a federal judge is there for life. You can't vote him in. You can't vote him out.
That's true.
On the state level, it don't work that way. I mean, the reason why come African Americans are so far behind in a lot of things, you know, coming out of Jim Crow and that, you had the law in your favor, but you didn't have nobody to enforce the law at the local and the state level. You know, it was up into the 60s where you had to resort to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, federal judges, they're not facing the election. If they was facing the election, look at the Warren, the Supreme Court judge. He was a Ku Klux Klan member. But heck, he turned out to be one of the most favorable judges, Supreme Court jurists, that done voted in favor for things that helped blacks to get to the standings that they are. He didn't have to worry about being removed.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. That's the other thing I think that's amazing, how much I find that very few of us know anything about our history. You know, and again, what's that saying? If you don't know your history, you're destined to repeat it.
So you have to have things in place. Plessy versus Ferguson, that says separate but equal, would have been fine if they had enforced that which would make the equal come to fruition. They only concentrated on the separate.
Right.
I mean, naturally, people are going to be separate. You're going to have those on the far right, those on the far left, and you're going to have everybody in between that does things because that's the way they want to, or they find themselves having to do this way. There's nothing wrong. I listened to a radio program where you had a white guest was complaining about white flight. And I came on and said, whites got all the right in the world to live amongst themselves if they want to. You know, government-sponsored segregation is wrong, but government-sponsored integration is just as wrong.
Yes,
just
sir.
Like the whites came to your business because of what? Because of the quality. They didn't come to your business because they were segregated from other business. They didn't come to your business because there was forced integration of your business. They came to your business because it was the quality.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way it should be.
It is an interesting one. I had a black woman, this happened more than once, but one particular, had a black woman come to my school, look around, told me she wanted her son to do karate. I said, okay, no problem. So, you know, I gave her my history, gave her all my contact information, showed her the school, showed her the curriculum, all of that stuff that I would think a parent would want for their child. Woman told me that my classes were too much. I told her, no, ma'am, my classes are actually lower than everybody else. I said, because mostly, one, I'm not a daycare. You know, I teach your kids for whatever time that they're supposed to be trained, and then you're supposed to be here or that you're supposed to come get them. I said, most of my students are adults. Woman still said I was too expensive. She left. 7 months go by. At the end of the 7 months, this woman comes back into my school. I'm teaching a class. So I recognized her. I figured she just came in to look around. So I kept doing what I was doing. Well, she sat there for about 45 minutes. Then she gets up and gets ready to leave. So I tell my senior student, go ahead, finish doing the class. And I walk over to go see her. So I ask her, can I help you? The woman says, no, I just want to let you know that you're doing a fabulous job with these children. I said, well, thank you very much. I said, do you have anybody that you want to train? And she goes, well, no, my son trains. I said, okay, well, where does he train? She tells me where. I said, well, how does he like it? She tells me he doesn't like it. I said, well, if he doesn't like it, why don't you just bring him here and he could start with us? She goes, well, no, that won't work. I said, well, why not? She's like, well, I signed him up at the school up the street and I signed a contract. I said, wow. I said, well, how long is your, you know, I said, how long is your contract for? She signed a contract for a year and a half. I said, whoa, okay. I said, well, you know, when your contract is over, you can bring him. I said, can I ask you, how much did they charge you? She said, well, they charged me almost $200 a month. I said, wow. So I looked at her, and I said, well, see, if you'd have brought your son here, I was charging $50 a month. But my perception is, because I was black, she thought that she was going to get a better deal from the Koreans. So now she has a contract that she has to pay for a year and a half. She's paying almost $200 a month. I was only charging $50, and her son only went for two or three months.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. It is. She was pissed off because she didn't realize that I recognized her from the first time. But it's interesting. It's interesting. Very disconcerting, actually. But such is life. We learn as we go.
I train baseball players. Well, I've been training my grandson. Sometimes I would pass him on to somebody else because, you know, you're working with your own blood. At some point in time, they won't listen to you. But we lucky here in St. Louis, we got some former African-American ball player. Kirk Ford used to play for the Cardinals, Bernard Gilkey,
mm-hmm.
Lou Brock, Ozzy, and Lonnie Macklin. But, hey, Kirk charged $65 an hour, and he does a very good job. There's some other another organization called All-Pro that has some former Cardinals. Scott Peters and so on and so on. They charge comparable prices. Depends on what you want to have done. They work with a pitcher. They charge $38 for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They charge with a hitter, it may be $40 a half hour. But them places are packed, mostly with whites, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those trainers and that charge, I don't charge nobody any money when I train because I work with a boys and girl club. And, you know, I'm assistant coach with my grandson's high school, and I want to see the players, you know, do well.
No, very admirable. I used to do something like that with the boys and girls clubs up in New York, and then here I used to teach for the Sexual Assault Victims Advocate Service here in Northern Virginia, teaching women's basic, advanced self-defense and resisting aggression defensively. And again, I was, like you just said, I was pretty much the only black guy or black person in there. But then, you know, people get crazy because they got a new director, and I think she just has a problem with men. So me and her couldn't get along, so I was like, listen, I need to leave this alone.
And that's another thing about sports. As a culture, we look at sports from one view, and that's putting players on the court or the field.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that go on behind the scene that makes it possible for those games to go on is where we're not present, whether it's the advertising, concession, sports medicine, training, coaching, officiating, and so on and so on and so on. And our children need to be exposed in those areas, too. That's one reason why I was hoping that somebody black would have bought the Don Sterling's team, because then that portion of the business, from the back office, the marketing, and so on and so on and so on, would have been a potential for that to change.
Right. Well, it looks like with most of the teams, if there's anybody black, they seem to be more of a figurehead. I'm not saying that they don't have money in the game, but in comparison to the group, they seem to be more like a figurehead than actually the leaders.
Yeah. You got to be able to change that whole spectrum in order to get the opportunities for your own people that they wouldn't normally have.
Right.
They had a utility company here, an electric company, where they had a black woman that was in charge of human resources. And heck, man, she was hiring black people left and right. And it shows when you drive down the street and see utility people up on the poles doing whatever, you know, you see more blacks than you have ever before. They had a lady over in a school district over in Illinois, a black school district, where she would break contracts down to portions where black contractors could afford and get the bond for. So those are things you got to kind of make changes in order so that people can establish some sort of wealth where they can go on and do other things.
Right. But again, like you were saying earlier, or like the conversation was saying earlier, it also comes back down to the people that do get those jobs having the gratitude and the appreciation, because the problem, again, is we get to certain levels and we just forget.
And
you know,
you're
I mean,
right.
Totally forget.
And that's where the education comes in. That has to be instilled in those people at a young age. You got to have that in your school. School, see, the education and skills are two different things. Education teach you how to use those skills. And if you have not been educated correctly, you find out that you find your children using their skills to continue to empower those who have oppressed you. And, you know, once a person starts making money off you from oppression, that's what it's all about. It ain't that I hate you or I don't like you and all of that stuff. It's about I want to be able to control you in a certain way where I can derive economic benefits from. And once I begin to control you, I want to maintain that control so that my children can benefit from it too.
Yep. Actually, I posted that in the feed when you guys were talking earlier. I said the problem is that you guys are talking about starting off even. I mean, starting off with everybody getting a fair shake. To get a fair shake, you had to start off even to begin with. And we were put at a huge economical and sociological disadvantage from the beginning. You know, when they were bringing people in here from other countries and giving them land that they wouldn't give to the blacks. You talk about, like, the $5 Indians. Remember when they were giving land to the Indians?
It still exists today.
Yes, and those same people are still in the same structure is still in place. Some of the names have changed, not many, because it used to be, what, a couple hundred companies that controlled everything. Now it's pretty much five families, you know, which goes back to what that guy was saying about the banking industry. But
they still control it. But see, the thing is that they can be competed against. As a matter of fact, they like competition. If they didn't, they would have just died a long time ago. You know, anybody like competition. The New York Yankees want good competition because people are going to pay to come see legitimate good competition. They're going to come see people falling all over their face and tripping all over the place. So you can compete with them, believe me. You can see it going on all the time. You can compete with them on their level. Maybe not on their level, but you can compete with them in the same category that they compete in. But you got to be due diligent. You got to have your shit together. You got to be focused.
Okay, roger that. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Look what you're doing. You got the quality in what you do compared to any of the other groups where people would normally – they would naturally look at martial arts. Well, they look at Bruce Lee and Five Fingers of Death and the things that they see on TV. I mean, you've seen Chuck Norris there every now and then. So what I'm saying is that if you can't compete with them, you can do it. The level of your success depends on the knowledge of the people that you're working with. They either have to have some nationalistic perspective, but sometimes you always want to have the quality. You don't want to sell your people going to come to you because you black, but you just don't want to take advantage of it. You want to make sure that you are giving them the best quality that there is, because you want them to come back. They may come to you the first time, but the expression that you put on them that first time is going to determine whether or not they come back again.
Roger that. Well, that's
Thank you. That's one of the things that kind of motivated me, because when I didn't want to teach. I just wanted to train. And I started teaching at a place called Lifetime Fitness up in Centerville, Virginia. And, you know, I was there for about 2.5 years doing it part-time because I was running information system stuff. And I just got tired of their crap. So I was like, listen, I don't want to do this anymore. And the interesting thing was most of my students, even though they lived way out on the other side of Virginia for the most part, they came. And they supported me, and all, again, just about all, well, all of them were white, you know, presidents of companies and things like that, but they stayed with me. And that's what actually made me eventually end up opening up the school that I had for about 5.5 years. But then, you know,
well,
life...
Kurt Ford, who played for the Cardinals, he's black, you know, whites bring their kids to him because they know he does an excellent job. Not only with teaching them the skills, but he also gets into their mental capacity, too, because baseball is very much mental, just like what you do, too. You know, they're getting ready to cut us off here in about a minute, so I'm going to go and pull out of here.
All right. Anyway, sir, it was nice talking to you. Hope we get to connect again.
All right. And success with your business.
Thank you. Success with life in general and your grandson.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Be well.